understand.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-M. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Well, let's see. Something to talk about. On Saturday, I was heading to Malibu, down PCH.
And
PCH, well, I was looking at some property over there in the Malibu area.
Yeah.
Like for an investment. So I was going down there on Saturday to check it out, and Pacific Coast Highway just it came to a stop. Now, it was one of these things where most of the answers in life you figure out, or most of the problems or most of the situations you get yourself into in life, you will discuss out loud 20 minutes to 45 minutes earlier before it happens. You'll say things like, geez, you seem pretty drunk. You think you should be driving?
Right.
Brian, I won't and I can't compete with you over there, Mr. TB. Please.
I'm trying to do my best here under really difficult circumstances.
You'll do a lot of, you know, this sort of, geez, don't you think we should call ahead to the restaurant? It is Saturday night. Get in the car. And then fast forward to you getting to the restaurant and them going, we're completely booked. There's most of the things in life that are going to go wrong, you will announce to whoever's next to you before you go do it.
And then you'll do it.
And then you'll do it. So what happened was, is I was picking up a friend of mine, and then there's also just sort of this foreshadowing where I was picking up a friend of mine in Santa Monica, and we're going to drive down PCH and go to Malibu. And I kept thinking, my odometer on my car, the electronic one, said, you have 25 miles left worth of range, you know. Now, I would like car companies, and a lot of people, most newer cars have a little computer in them. And somewhere in that computer, it has your little trip computer and your average speed or your average miles per gallon. But the one I've always dreamt of and the one most cars have now is the one that says 58 miles left till empty.
Right.
100 miles left till empty. I don't know what percentage of new cars have it. I would say 80% of new cars and probably 50% of cars that are 5 or 6 years old have that. Here's how many miles you have until you run out of gas. To me, I love that. Because most cars, even when it gets to E and even when the light comes on, you don't know if that means 10 more miles or 35 or 40 more miles. Right. And they never really make it clear.
That's what I have, and it's a guessing game. The light's on, you don't know.
Well, yeah, we all have a different version, because I have a Harley Davidson. It has nothing.
Right.
You run out of gas. That's how you know you're out of gas.
Right. That's out, right.
It's outlandish. That's how you know you're out of gas is because you're pulled over going, wow, I'm out of gas on my Harley.
I don't think they've improved much from 50 years ago when old like VWs and stuff had a little auxiliary tank. You'd go turn a switch or do something. Right. You know you have 1 gallon left to your name. But newer cars, they have this countdown thing. Now, the problem with the countdown thing is the countdown thing says you have 25 miles left worth of range, and you think, well, the thing's on E, the light's on, but it says I have 25 miles of range, and Malibu's about 17 miles from where I'm at, so screw it, I'm going for it. Then you get in the car, you put your seatbelt on, you roll 100 feet, and it says you have 9 miles left.
Right.
They are not accurate at all, and then what they'll do sometimes is, during the critical part, they'll just flatline. So it'll be like, you have 20 miles, you have 17 miles, you have 12 miles, and then all of a sudden you just see a bar.
Right.
And you're like, what happened to my last 12 miles?
They're like,
we're not committing to that last 12. Well, don't tell me I have 12 then, because 12 miles is enough to go across the city.
But you can also agree the flatline is no more accurate than the 12 miles. You may still have the 12 miles and the thing's just wrong again.
Emotionally, once you start staring at the tilt thing, which is maybe an old pinball reference, but once you start looking at the zero, it's the biggest mind F you'll ever have, especially when you're nowhere near a gas station. So I get off the freeway, I'm going to Santa Monica, and I think, all right, I'm going to pick my buddy up, but first I should probably get some gas. But thing about Santa Monica, you don't really realize there's not any gas stations. I don't think just driving through the Santa Monica teen streets and the Montanas and all that. There's really none, just right. Maybe they've planned it that way. Maybe it's better that way, but I didn't pass one. So I pick the guy up and I say, you know, the thing says I have 22, 25 miles, probably enough to get us there, but maybe you want to drive unless there's a gas station between here and PCH. And it's like, the answer's no, but he says I'm a horrible driver and you should drive anyway. And I said, nah, we got 25 miles, fine. So we start down PCH, and it's got 20 miles, 15 miles, and then PCH comes to a complete stop to the point where people getting out of their cars and looking around. And I realize, oh, this is never going to work. So I say, I know a shortcut. So I turn right and I head up the hill because I used to build some houses up there. And you can kind of cut through the canyons and go around and blah, blah, blah.
It's not actually a shortcut unless the traffic is stopped. Right. If the traffic's not stopped, it's a very long cut.
It's way out of the way.
It's 22 miles to go a mile and a half, but the mile and a half is stopped dead.
If you're like me, you just want some wind moving through your radiator rather than just being parked. So I turn up, go, well, of course, no sooner do I get up, start heading up into the hill than the thing just says zero. And I realize there's no gas station anywhere near where we are. We're on zero. Now, instead of heading back down, we're going to have to head into the valley and try to do the short. Try to see if there's a faster way I can get to a gas station. Now I'm actually heading the wrong way because I need gas so badly. It was the most uncomfortable 9 miles I've ever traveled looking at this thing on zero because I'm up in the hills of Santa Monica. There's barely a house around. And I thought, if I run out of gas right now, this is going to destroy my weekend. And then I thought, why can't they get this little calculator right? I mean, I'm glad zero didn't mean zero on one hand because I didn't run out of gas and I drove for 8 or 9 miles while the thing was on zero. But on the other hand, you're doing a piss poor job of calculating. Why can't 11 miles mean 11 miles and zero mean zero and 55 mean 55? And if we could count on that, I would pay another $1,000 for that option. And I will give you the ones I don't need. For instance, the windshield wipers coming on automatically when there's moisture in the air.
Yeah, I'll give up that one.
I can handle. I can handle that. Yeah. When it starts raining, I'll just lift my hand and do that. I don't need all the buzzers and the bells and the whistles. I feel like there's about 55 things in cars that I really don't need, and then four of them I really need to work, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes they don't have that. I wonder if they ever do any testing. And I want to be that guy.
First of all, they test they focus group everything. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you offer people things they don't have, so they say yes. Mm-hmm. That's all you've really done is offer them something they didn't have yesterday. So, of course, they said, well, yeah, that'd be great if you do that. And they try and rush the technology. If they focus grouped me, I've got a GPS on my Nissan, and I just put one on my telephone, which is really neat. I had to have it done because I'm a spaz. But under points of interest, under no circumstances can you find easy chicks.
Maybe they have restaurants, they have gas stations.
Airports, nowhere, easy chicks.
Well, the thing about that GPS that I don't care for is that, like a lot of conveniences, I became addicted to it. I have a horrible sense of direction. And then it stopped working while I was on my way somewhere. And I couldn't get there. The little cigarette, you know, it plugs into the cigarette lighter.
Yeah, that's what mine does.
And the cigarette lighter stopped charging, and then I was just stuck in the middle of Pasadena.
Well, I wonder.
Ooh, the jungles of Pasadena. You could have been killed.
The mean streets,
Well, the khakis and the Dockers are at war, as you know.
That's God, you have a good memory.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, yes. I was going to say, I put the
in your neighborhood. One
of the funniest things I ever heard, but I put it out of my mind at 10:01.
Yeah, I did too.
Not me when I'm in Pasadena after dark. Scared.
Yeah, I wonder. You see, it is an interesting thing once you get used to the technology and then the technology goes away. And I just wonder if everyone's brain is going to slowly turn to mush.
Yes, look at spell check. People don't know how to spell anymore.
Right. It's a very good point. And I think that list is going to go on and on and on in terms of the stuff we're used to people doing for us or the conveniences we rely on. And then the parts of your brain you have to shut down. I mean, but just like anything, nobody knows how to work with leather anymore because you don't have to make your own saddle and boots. So thus, it's a lost art. Maybe spelling and math will be a lost art.
Look at drafting. People used to draft by hand and now it's all computer aided.
good point.
Yeah, but I don't know. I wonder how much of that is completely bad. I know some of it is bad because it's happening to me right now. Gretchen and I are doing some rearranging in our house, and we're taking our what was our basement now is a theater, and I mean it's really like a fabulous 2,000 square feet rooms. And the mover guys got confused about the computers and unplugged all the computers and moved them upstairs. So I took them downstairs and just plugged them back in. That should have been all there was to it. We are off the internet. We've rewired everything. We plug things in till lights go. Gretchen and I are off the internet, and it's only been the weekend, so it couldn't have been that important. We are riddled with fear that we've missed something gigantic, as if anything gigantic comes from your friends or family.
Right.
You know, in my world, mostly just because I'm so afraid of ever being poor, like $1.50 seems really important. You could be at Hooters, and they'll pay you a dollar, and that's very important to me still. But in real life, somebody's sick, somebody's hurt, you need to do this. They have our phone
number.
They'll
call you.
But Gretchen and I have been a panic that we're not online since Friday.
I know there is that feeling when you do hop online and it tells you you can't get online. Like, oh man, what am I supposed to do now?
Yeah.
This is somewhere between rape and an outrage. A little closer to the rape.
I was going to say, well, then the outrage start like before like the first button ripping of the rape.
Yeah, well, what I mean is it's not quite rape, but it's past an outrage.
It's a loss of control that makes you angry.
It's an outrape.
Yes, an outrape.
It's an outrape.
Well, you're suddenly...
I think both of you would much rather get raped than go to the nearest cyber cafe and sit next to a goof.
Oh, I couldn't. I couldn't imagine.
I had to go to the library to use the internet. Man, did I feel poor that day.
God, I have not been to the library in forever. I can't believe they even still have them.
Adam, that's the room where the books go.
Huh? It doesn't have the word book in it. That's why it's confusing. Yes, the library is where people who can't afford newspapers can read the newspaper.
Or internet.
There are people, yeah, they're the people who go to the library so they can read the newspaper that's put on that bamboo fighting sword.
Right.
Yes.
Bonaducci, changing gears quickly, I got you a little gift.
That puts me a gift behind.
To do with the upcoming fight?
It's a little gift. No. No, you can't bring this into the ring, but I'll give you a hint. I was at Home Depot yesterday because that's where the atheists spend their Easter. They worship at the temple.
That's your church.
With a god who wears the orange frock and has his name written in Sharpie on his chest.
Jesus was a carpenter.
Yes, he was. And if he...
I forgot yesterday. I went to Easter services and everything.
Yeah, I went, I saw a gift that reminded me of you, so I went and purchased it for you. We need to take a break. I'm trying to think of something to talk about with the listeners. Yes.
The fights over the weekend. Did you watch the UFC or the Calzaghe Manfredo?
Yes, I did. I watched a Calzaghe-Manfredo fight. We can get into that. But speaking of fights, here's a topic. I saw The Sopranos last night. Got into a scrape, Tony did, with his drunken Bobby Bacala. And I thought, you know, it's funny, the tension was building as they were playing Monopoly, which so often happens. Monopoly seems to bring that out in people, whereas Life and Parcheesi don't seem to elicit that kind of response from folks. But then...
they bring out your worst, that's for sure.
Yeah,
nobody will ever, ever let me be the banker in Monopoly.
Booze. And then you mix some booze in with it, and then the couple start fighting. And then anything, though, you think it's a good idea to play charades. Next thing you know, you start screaming at your wife. Are you high?
Yeah.
Nobody knew that. Lee Strasberg wouldn't know what you were doing, for the love of Christ.
We've done this for years. You know it every day. You knew it the last party.
Right. Eventually, she blurts out something inappropriate like, well, why don't you ask the chick you were screwing 6 years ago if she could do any better? And then next thing you know.
Like he was in the room.
So I'd like to hear about the fights you've had. I don't want to hear about the ones you beat the crap out of your wife. I want to hear the ones about you and your first cousin going at it, or your wife smashing you. Games gone bad, competitions gone bad. I'll even extend it to Little League field, parents getting into fights. Just it starts out as a competition and ends in sort of the ultimate competition, which is your fist. 866-901-ADAM. And then also tell you what happened with our old friend. Well, we had what's-his-nose in here.
Manfredo
in here, and then Calzaghe.
Sugar Ray was in here. Wasn't he working with Manfredo?
He was.
It didn't go well.
Didn't go well. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Yes, indeed. We're talking about fights. Fights you've had with friends. Fights you've had with family. Oh, stemming from the Sopranos episode.
Over games, all right, specifically?
Yeah.
Because the only reason that jumps to mind...
Any kind of competitions, though.
Because I told you, like, for beatings, it's hard to beat the Bonaducci's. Mm-hmm. Remember I told you my dad stabbed my brother for saying the Industrial Revolution started with the invention of the wheel?
Uh-huh.
And not in the 1780s. And that was like, don't get fancy with me, dude. And it was in a Chinese restaurant, no less.
Uh-huh.
This one ends up in a Roman jail.
It ended up in a Roman jail?
Not that one. This one.
What happened?
My brother went to live in Italy. Mm-hmm. All of my family have scattered at one point or another. He did it again. He's now the one that builds apartment buildings in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of have a tradition. We either take a lot of drugs and go crazy, or we just go crazy. But either way, we end up at my aunt's house in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to this poor old woman. She's got to be 90 now.
Right.
So anyway, the trip to Aunt Jackie's didn't work out for Anthony. He was just, he was mostly unhappy. He wasn't crazy like the rest of us. He was just an unhappy guy. So he went back to, like, my dad or grandfather's hometown in Munsan Pongo, Italy, and stayed with relatives we, like, didn't know. Mm-hmm. Who, by the way, I went to visit him, and they're, like, Native Americans in, well, you're at my house, where are my gifts? And they just started opening my luggage and trying things on and telling me what they liked and keeping it.
Really?
Yeah, it was really odd. So anyway, my dad sends me, one of the nicest things he ever did, but mostly he was big about being an Italian, for high school graduation. He sent me to Rome, and Anthony was living in Italy. And we're sitting in this little dive hotel room, and Anthony's teaching me how to play gin.
Uh-oh.
Gin rummy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to play, so he kills me 10 games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've played 10 games, and it's pretty much a game of luck after that, really. I mean, luck and some skill, but I just played 10 games in a row.
Right.
I lose 10 games in a row, win game 11, and Anthony, who's huge in Bonaducci world, he's the largest Bonaducci in captivity. He's about 6 feet, but 200 and some odd pounds, and abnormally strong. And he goes, cheater! Kaboom! And he hits me really hard. And I'm 17 now when I graduate high school. And I go flying because he's really strong, but I'm not hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it surprises me a great deal because when Anthony hit me before a million times, I was hurt. I wanted to run. And I hit the wall, and I'm not hurt. And I go, that's it. Let's just do this right now. I think I can do this. You want to just go outside right now and just get this beating thing done with? Because I'm tired of it. Because I've been getting beat up my whole life as a baby. So we go outside in this park, and I do okay. Mm-hmm. But he's a big man, and we're rolling around, and we mean business. And by the way, I got to tell you, like, the whole black belt thing is kind of overrated. I'm at least a first degree black belt at this point in my life. At 6 feet 200, I'm not doing a whole lot of damage with my fancy ass stuff. We're rolling around on the ground like pigs.
Now, this is in Rome.
Yeah, in a park.
In a park.
Outside the hotel room.
Wow, when in Rome, do as the ugly Americans do.
Totally. So we just start smashing the bejesus out of each other. And I don't know why it's not hurting like it always used to, or maybe I'm not as scared because I'm taking a pounding. But so is he. He's getting hit. And there's a crowd around, and we end up getting arrested by the policia or the whatever they're called over there.
Sounds right.
And I'm not sure that it is right. But anyway, we get dragged off in handcuffs, and Anthony now speaks Italian because he's been there, and I can hear him. I can understand the words gin and gin rummy. And he's actually telling the cops the truth.
Right.
That's my little brother, and he cheated me, gin rummy. And they took us to jail, and we went. So that's Adam's game, like a cousin or a brother, you're playing a game, and it just goes too far. That's my entry into the field. Gin rummy in a hotel room in Rome for my high school graduation, and Anthony insists I cheated because I won one game out of 11.
Well, he's a proud... And he's a Bonaducci,
right.
And he's a, now I'm speaking in an accent. I brought the gift in. I know this won't make the pain of the constant beatings at the hands of your father go away, but perhaps it'll alleviate it just for one moment. A 10-inch adjustable crescent wrench I bought for Danny. It's actually quite, it feels good in your hand. It's a nice one. Danny was explaining the other day off the air that he wanted to know if he went down to Home Depot and picked up some of those day laborers that were hanging out in the parking lot if they came with their own tools. And I said, no, they don't have their own tools. And Danny said, wow, that's a problem because I have to, like, undo a bolt or a nut. Like, I need to. I said, you don't have a crescent wrench? She said, I have a small one. I said, well, I was doing a little shopping, and I said, here. Now, here's the way I am.
That's very sweet, Adam. Thank you.
My pleasure.
If this came with a Guatemalan, this would have been really handy.
It's in the trunk of the car. Yeah. I have a big bow on it.
Hard to wrap.
Yeah.
By the way, I asked my Mexicans
mm-hmm.
which one of them was Mexican.
Not a one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Not a one.
I know. We're going to have to we assume everyone in Southern California is Mexican who isn't white because they all come through Mexico. Right. But oftentimes it was through Central and South
Nicaragua,
and all that stuff.
And El Salvador.
And I really resent the part of life where I have to sort of educate myself. I miss the America of the 50s when there was just America and then there was Europe and that was about it.
Yeah.
There were countries that got on our S list and we had to bomb, but that was about it. Now I have to figure out the difference between Iraq and Iran and Persia and Syria and all this kind of stuff. And then seriously, Ozzy is from Nicaragua and my nanny is from, where the hell is San Salvador? What? I thought it was in Mexico. She's gonna kill me.
El Salvador?
No, not right next to Mexico, right up against
Guatemala.
Ah. She's from Guatemala. I successfully made it to age 40 without knowing that Guatemala was a separate country that was next to Mexico. I just was Guatemala, Mexico.
That's about what I made
it. Guadalajara screwed me up with Guatemala.
Confusing.
But the point is there was just... Look, if you came from across this imaginary line in the desert that ran across California and Texas, then you're Mexican.
Right.
You were not Guatemalan or El Salvadorian. You spoke Spanish. You were tan but not black, and you were Mexican. End of discussion.
Right.
And if you're over here, you are just like you're just Middle Eastern. I don't know where you're from.
I haven't even thought about those guys. They're guys that are darker than me, yet lighter than Bill Cosby, and they're all from Mexico. And there are people.
Hold on. That's everybody on the planet.
Yes. And then there are people approximately the color of Mr. Cosby, and they would be African Americans. I never thought about the Middle East till we started hating each other.
Oh, so much easier back then. And I was able to leave, you know, we had, we were able to leave out the specifics of the Middle East for the first 30 years we talked about it. It was just trouble in the Middle East,
right.
Trouble in the Middle East. There was no, you know, you didn't get into this super, you know, no, I mean, you never heard of Tikrit until
right.
3 years
right.
ago.
Fallujah.
There was just Fallujah. It was just trouble.
Fallujah sounds like a water ride.
Trouble in the Middle East. That's right.
What do you want to do next? Honey, I want to go on the Fallujah.
All right, but hey, I'm sitting in the back so I don't get the wettest.
You've got to sign a release before getting on that Fallujah.
Lou?
Yeah, how you
Sweet
doing?
Sweet Lou from Pasadena. Lou?
Hi, Lou.
You a docker?
Hey, Adam? Adam, Danny, Teresa, great show, man. You guys have me rolling every morning, man.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Lou.
Great. Danny, good addition to the show, man. I love you, man.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Man, down to earth, you guys are just righteous.
Yeah, that's me.
Gearhead just like me, man.
Yes, I am, Lou.
I don't know what you're talking about.
How can you take a compliment that you are down to earth, that you're a gearhead like him if I'm down to earth? Obviously, this man is not from this planet. Oh, Bonaduce,
you like it
most
is, Danny. I love it, man.
Most down to earth guy.
Like it is.
I think you keep it real.
Yeah, I'm keeping it real with the homies, my doctor friend.
You know what I mean? He'll beat the heck out of another celebrity any day. You
By
know
the
mean?
Way. It's coming. I'll tell you about it later.
Hey, Lou.
Yeah.
You got in a fight with a cousin during a horseshoe game?
Man, my cousin is from Arizona. She brings her man with her. He's he's from L.A., and we're playing horseshoes. He starts talking smack.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going off about, you know, L.A. this, L.A., you know what? And he goes, stereotypical guy, a Raider fan, you know what I mean? I'm going, oh, dude, come on, here we go now. Before I know it, he's charging me. He's charging the mound, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're
going at it. We're scrapping on the grass. It's all our horseshoes.
Well, the problem is you start boozing and you start competing, and then once you get drunk, the ultimate competition is with your fists. I mean, everything is just a substitute because we can't beat each other up anymore. It's not socially acceptable. People will get sued. I mean, if you really think about it, especially men, but women have this as well. All these simulations, all these, you know, hey, we're not going to take over any neighboring countries. We'll play Stratego. I'm not going to own the block. We'll play Monopoly. There are all these sort of substitutions for our essence. Well, you get loaded and you start competing and you get to the essence really quickly. You get loaded and you go watch a play or watch a movie or do something passive. No problem. You get loaded and start doing even a little pool game where you're doing a little basketball, whatever, and trying to throw. Next, someone gets an elbow in the chest, and the next thing you know, it's on.
Hey, Lou, please don't tell me this happened yesterday on Easter Sunday.
I am going to tell you that it, in front of relatives, I'm telling you.
You wouldn't believe the things that can happen on Easter Sunday, man. It was a busy weekend at the Bonnie DiGiulio Hotel.
Good clothes, you know, everything tore up.
I was humiliated at the Easter bash yesterday over the Kimmel clan, the parents. Everyone comes to town. The Kimmel's a huge clan. Everyone loves the bejesus out of each other. It's sickening, and they all get together.
Do you mean the family part of the clan he exists in?
Not the clan. Okay. That march is later this week. Details as we get into the 10 o'clock hour. But they all... I make this mistake. You guys see me wear my stupid sweatsuit into work every day, and then it's the ill-matching sweatsuit. It's the green top with the blue trousers or the blue bottoms. Now I have one that's even more distracting, which is the blue bottoms with the white stripe that I wear at the blue top with the blue stripe, which looks weird. It throws people because it looks the same, but then at second glance, it doesn't. I said to my wife, hey, we're running late to go to the Easter egg hunt / picnic barbecue, whatever, with Kimmel's. And I just did that thing where I knew she was in a hurry. So I said, what I'm wearing is okay, right? And she said, yeah, good enough. Let's go. So we took off. So everyone was wearing, you know, white shirts and jackets and sweaters and stuff. And I was just wearing this sweatsuit and I looked like a homeless person. But the thing that was funny is I ran into one guy after everyone made fun of me for looking like an idiot. I finally found one guy, Don Barris, a friend of ours. I said he was wearing a sweatsuit, too. And I said, I announced to everybody, you guys have been making fun of me for the last 2 hours. Look at Don Barris. Don Barris is wearing a sweatsuit. I don't hear you giving him any crap. And everyone said, he's got to get into the Easter Bunny outfit in a second. That's why he's wearing it. I said, you don't know I didn't bring an outfit. You don't know I didn't bring a giant egg or something.
Hey, did you dress up the little babies for Easter?
Oh, I got to say, I never thought I would get into this, but put Sonny in a little pink shirt with some white pants, and he just got passed around like a ball of cheese that everyone wanted to take a bite out of. And little Natalia was like in her little skirt with the little leggings, and it was just... It was just precious. Had a little beret, or barrette, I should say,
Does she have
hair.
Little hair now? On
top of yes.
I went to church yesterday on Easter Sunday dressed essentially as Johnny Cash, except in skulls. I forgot to not wear all my pirate jewelry, so I'm wearing full pirate gear. But a nice outfit, but all black, right? And I go in, and the pastor, who is a wonderful, wonderful man, has been very kind to me, comes up and goes, are you okay? Like, kind of, like, shocked. And I went, it's just a bad choice in gear, buddy. It's not anything to get all religious about. And I forgot. Gretchen bounced a $1,000 donation to send a mission to Africa.
Really?
And when I got the email in the middle of the night, it had been sent to like 4 people in the accounting department of the church. How do we contact Gretchen Bonaducci about the $1,000? And I wrote back, ask her. She might have it in her pocket. She's rich. Unlike you people, we're sending to Africa, bitch.
Well, what happened?
Probably not the best way to write back to the church.
No.
Well, the pastor, he knows me. You know, he's known me for a really long time. He's cool about you. But he goes, are you okay now? You're like, no, I'm real mad. But I'm dressed in pirate gear and black and have forgotten that I've just read a vicious letter to the church.
Speaking of embarrassing,
it was one of my high points in embarrassing. I think it's still on here.
Sarah Silverman almost killed my son at the.
That would be embarrassing. Would kill your son?
She was.
I mean, as you meant to.
She was holding, the Kimmels and everyone involved in the Kimmels, especially Kimmel's dad. He loves my son more than he loves Jimmy. He loves him more in life. He grabs onto him and the kids. He just walks around the whole party, just dragging the guy around the whole time. And Sonny was being held up by Sarah Silverman, who is one of the sweetest, nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. I thought she would be neurotic because she's a stand-up comedian and she's so talented and whatever. She's really the most down-to-earth, friendly, nicest people I ever want to meet. But I don't think she is going to get great grades in the parenting skills. She doesn't have any kids. She was feeding Sonny a piece of celery. And there was a Bloody Mary bar. And I was, of course, was standing by it trying to get my Bloody Mary. She was feeding Sonny some celery, and I thought, my first impulse was, I don't think you're supposed to feed him stuff that's that fibrous.
That's stringy.
And
absolutely.
Stringy, and whatever, you know, because I see Lynette giving him little pieces of bread and little pieces of, you know, egg that has been scrambled and stuff, you know, a little piece of cheese or something, but I don't know about that. But then I thought, it's your kid, but you're a guy. What do you know?
Yeah.
Butt out. And I just sat there and watched him feeding the celery, and I thought, that didn't seem right. And then she handed Sonny back to me, and then I was hanging on. I was talking to Jimmy's dad, and all of a sudden, I immediately did the celery math, and so I flipped him over and started banging on his back, and I just thought, oh, good Christ. I never think of the person that's being injured. I think of the next person. So if my son was choking to death, I wouldn't think of my son. I'd think of my wife.
Right.
And it'd be like, oh, Christ. This is going to be horrible. My life will be horrible if something happens to this kid. Then I think of me. So here's how it goes. I don't think of the person that's choking.
Right.
I think of the person closest to the person that's choking and how they will ruin my life if something horrible happens to this person.
What about this? We still have the girl. Would that work?
That's a good one.
See, I would think, first thing that would enter my mind is I would do this math. How good of a guest is Silverman compared to how much do I like this kid? That's the way I would go. For blame immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Sarah Silverman was an A-plus guest, like, I don't know, Sylvester Stallone on his best day. Because I don't go to the movies enough to know who the biggest star in America is now. But Bruce Willis on Die Hard 1 or 2, the biggest star in the world. The math on the kid might not work out that well. I might look at Bruce and go, oh, don't you worry, I got another one.
Yeah, right.
Now, if I had Mike Nesmith from the Monkees, choking Mike.
Terrible.
He's,
got bleeped out.
I think Danny said something.
We can't say that.
I'll just say that I picked Mike Nesmith's headwear and his sexual preferences.
So the celery came out, the baby was fine.
Yes, I whacked the kid on the back, and then I screamed at him for embarrassing Danny. Dustin?
Yeah.
Dustin from Seattle, what happened?
Morning, Adam, Teresa, and Danny.
Morning.
You make my day start off right every morning.
Thank you.
All right, I'll get to it. I was in the same situation as Danny growing up. I had two older brothers. My oldest brother always beat my ass all the time in front of his friends, bloodied my nose, fattened my lip all the time growing up. But he was getting ready to go off to college. He just graduated from high school, and my parents thought it might be a good idea to take us all out for one last, you know, family get-together while the whole family's together. And they took us bowling in the small town, the only bowling alley, so it's Friday night. Everybody's there.
Of course.
And we just get there. We start into bowling, and I'm in the same lane as my brother, and I'm up. So I bowl the ball, and he pushes the button for the gate to come down to sweep the pins away. So it knocks my ball into the gutter, and I think nothing of it. Well, he gets up to bowl his frame.
Mm-hmm.
So being the little brother that I am, Oppie and my older brother would do the same thing. I would almost do the same thing, mock him, do whatever. So I push the button, and the gate comes down, and his ball, and he gets pissed. He comes over, and he shoves me right in front of everybody. And at first, you know, growing up, my first instinct is to back down, you know, get ready to take my ass
with
Right, right.
But then the moment comes where I finally say, you know what, I'm in high school now, it's time to stick up for myself, and I clocked him as hard as I could right in the face, and he fell down, And he got back up and he said, "This isn't over." And my parents, you know, embarrassed as they were, grabbed everybody. We still had like 9 frames left, took us out, but that was it. It was over, and we have not fought since. And now I'm 25, you know, got a family of my own, and we're like best friends.
So that's all it took. You had to gain his respect.
First of all,
one last lick.
There are two things. One, when a story starts off, I was just like Danny. I never think smallest kid got my ass beat by my brother. I always think, so I'm really famous and a crackhead. That's the first thing I think when people say I grew up just like Danny. The second thing is when a Bonaducci tells you this isn't over, it's never over. You're 17 then. You're 25 now. If you were a Bonaducci, you'd still be looking over your shoulder waiting for the beating that's coming. I told you, my sister's kept an enemies list since high school. And they will all get it someday.
They don't know when or how.
My grandfather used to say to me, "Revenge is a dish best served cold." And I've said to people, and I've meant it, 15 years from now, you're going to wonder, why is this guy breaking my legs? What I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we started out this conversation talking about The Sopranos, and you got to wonder, is Tony going to want to get revenge for getting beaten by his brother-in-law?
He's
maybe not revenge, but his pride seemed to take a blow, and maybe he'd like to correct that. Quickly, before we go to break, we promised, because we had Manfredo in here from The Contender, and then he went up against Joel Calzacchi over the weekend in Wales, and Calzacchi just opened up on him in the third round, and they stopped the fight prematurely.
I thought so, too.
I didn't think so. I was told so.
Yeah, they did when you watched it, although it's one of these things, which is there was a famous fight, one of the best fights of the early 90s, late 80s, probably early 90s, was a Julio Cesar Chavez, who was basically undefeated against, I can't remember if it was Pernell Whitaker, was one of the guys that was on top at the time. And Chavez was like 65-0 going up against whatever. And Chavez was losing the whole fight, and he needed a knockout at the end. And he hurt Whitaker, and he unloaded on him. And with like literally like 2 seconds left in the fight, the ref stopped it and said Chavez wins the fight. And if it two more ticks of the clock or three more ticks of the clock, and Whitaker, I think it was Pernell Whitaker, but I can't remember. Brian will find out and tell us. Would have won a fairly easy decision, and everyone blames the ref. Right. But the rules are...
Yeah, I was going to say, most people, I mean, you probably don't understand, why a guy who is just about to get killed in two more seconds wins. But it makes perfect sense.
But the rules are, the ref is not, I said the ref's not supposed to be looking at the clock. Right. The ref's supposed to be looking at the fight. And whether it's the last round or the fifth round, whether there's 2 seconds or a minute and a half left in the round, when a guy's getting beaten within an inch of his life, he needs to step in and call it. That makes it exciting. So I always liked that decision. This was one of these things where Manfredo, although he was not hurt, did not return any punches after about 35 punches.
Wasn't that his strategy to take a bunch of punches and tire the other guy out, punch him out?
When you're in a guy's hometown and there's always that home cooking with the ref and the judges and everything else, this guy's fights out of Wales. He's Calzacchi's, I think, 42-0 now and has had 20 successful title defenses. And you're in a guy's hometown and you're leaning against the ropes and he's thrown 30 unanswered punches. You better know somewhere in your head, if your bell isn't rung hard enough, to step in and throw a punch. It is the guy's hometown. They may throw the fight now.
And the main rule in boxing, that is, if not obeyed, the fight is stopped. Defend yourself at all times.
Right.
He had his fists up, kind of.
He did defend himself at all times, but part of the defense is throwing a punch.
Showing you're aware that you're capable of actually defending yourself.
Yes, Brian.
Meldrick Taylor. For the welterweight championship.
Who's now punch drunk and very sad, but was a very strong fighter. Very strong fighter of his day. We need to take a break. I was going to tell you the other thing that was embarrassing and funny over at the Kimmel Clan Easter party yesterday, but I'll tell you that when we come back. It was involved me putting my foot in my mouth a little bit. It's a good time. Well, I'll tell you that. Also, we will declare a winner, Outbook August and April. Is it Angie? Is it Mike August? Someone is going to win the $500 we give away each week and could be on their way to winning the $10,000 that'll come out of my pocket at the end of the month. We'll take a quick break. I'll tell you the foot and mouth story, and then we'll declare a winner and outbook August and April next on The Adam Carolla Show. It's Outbook August.
Mike August books our talent.
$10,000 is going to the person that gets us the best guest.
Vita Guerra, Mr. Skin, Pet Psychic, Mr. Traffic, Rumpelpeel, Bobby Trindy, Adams, Buddy Ray, Leanne Tweeden, Jack Silverkin, Howard Doogie, Hauser, Barry Cooper, Adams, Mambo Phoners, by the way.
August can't book the big stars, can't even book the B-list, so he works the T-list.
Carrot Top, Shawnee Smith, Paul Fishbine from Mavie and the Saint, Pauly Girl, Moose, and Kate Flannery. Ryan Seacrest, hairstylist, Brittany Rears, that's right, she canceled. Ozzy and Jeff Conaway, what else do I have to say?
August can't book the big stars, Mike can't get a good guest, so we're stuck with the rest. He cannot book the big stars, can't even book the B-list, so he works the D-list.
I know for a fact he's working on Dark Hair Chick from Three's Company. All right. Well, I dug into my own pocket. We'll part with $10,000 of my hard-earned bonus money I did nothing for last year. And give it to, well, I was going to say a listener, but I'll give it to someone who works here at the station.
Yeah,
I'll give it to Kyle. I'll give it to Bonaducci. I'll give it to myself, although that's unclear how that check works. I just write me or to cash. Either way.
I'd go to cash.
Either way, I will part with $10,000 at the end of this month. Now, we decided to offer $500 for the winner of each week, thus offering some incentive for people to come early and often. We feel like people are holding back, wanting to wait. There's no strategy in that, although I understand the instinct.
Right, but it's also a great motto, just come early and often.
Yes, thing I live by.
If you book, by the way, a caller told Kyle that he thinks he's going to book Muhammad Ali. Now, if you book Ali today, you will probably win even at the end of the month.
Yeah, and I think people are sort of thinking of it like the Academy Awards, which is we want to come out close to the voting so we're fresh in the minds of the Academy. But it doesn't work that way. Whoever won last year, Howard Stern won, and I think when we did it in August or September. And Big Tad got off his ass and
booked my phone, you bad F?
Booked Stern. That was a couple weeks before the winner was announced. It was the middle of the month. Still, we remembered. Now, Mike August is on the phone. There's a little controversy because, Mike.
Yes.
You would like to take credit, and there's a little gray area here once in a while. You would like to take credit for the John Heater booking from the number one movie this week, and producer Angie says she booked John Heater. It's pretty much between, it's the battle of the Johns, John Heater versus John Kerry, to see who gets the 500 from last week. So, how say you, producer Angie?
I know Mike said he was working on it. I got a call from a guy I booked stuff with before and asked if he wanted John Heater, and I booked him for a certain day and a certain time. Mm-hmm. And in Mike's defense, the guy did say he called Paramount Studios, and Mike had been working with this other guy, but he didn't book it. I booked the exact time, the day. Ooh. It had to be rescheduled for, it was booked for Thursday, had mm-hmm. to be rescheduled for Friday. I did that as well.
Wrong, mm-hmm. foul.
No, did you book him for that exact day and that exact time?
Here's what you have to understand, is nothing happens except to the personal publicist. The studio puts up 100 opportunities, but then you got to go to the personal publicist and get on the list. The publicist, for not even John Heater, but also for Will Ferrell and Ice Cube, is the same guy. I hit him for 3 weeks before because all those people had films coming out that last weekend of March. And what did we get? We got Ice Cube on Tuesday. We got John Heater on Thursday.
This is amazing.
I set all that up through the personal publicist. So all
that
the studio
is such
does
a lie. That is such a lie.
I have a simple
such
question.
Such a lie. I showed you the email of the guy saying, you're on the list.
You
how
said
can I be a lie?
That was the extent of your email. You're on the list. It didn't have a time.
Yeah,
it didn't have a date. My date.
It doesn't
did
matter. That's
date
we
and
were
times
put on the list because I requested us to be put on the list. If you would have just called the studio, you would have never got him.
All right, but let me.
Different person.
Hold on a second. Let me
get involved in this, but then I'd be going against what I want to happen.
Well, go ahead.
Okay, here's what I want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
it's not just that I want Angie to win.
Mm-hmm.
I also want Mike to lose.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of
wins.
People feel that way. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I'm just being honest with you.
Yes, he's very hateable.
I didn't know who he was the day I met him. Remember, Angie? Yeah, I thought he was somebody else.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't like any of that crew, and I like that guy least, and it turned out to be Mike.
Right.
So it's I really do want Angie to win, and just because of first impression, because he's a fine guy, but I didn't like him when I met him, so I want him to lose.
Right.
If you called Angie, and they said, oh, we've already gotten a call from this guy, Mike August, his name ever came up during your first phone call.
Wait, that's not how it worked. I didn't work for this at all, to be honest with you. I did not.
That's this guy.
No, wait.
You're killing me.
I got a call from someone who offered John up to us.
No, they did not offer John up to you.
Yes, 100% they did.
To us.
Right. Okay, then who was the guy I booked him through, Mike?
Caesar?
No.
No, Matt LaBov is his publicist.
No.
I took care of him. Yes, he is.
Well, he might be, but that's not who I booked him.
Doesn't matter. You wouldn't have got to him unless Matt LaBov put him on the list, which
I think
is
what it's LaBov, by the way.
I think it's LeBlanc, and his show went so bad, he's already somebody else's
John
publicist.
John Heater would not have happened unless I got into it LaBov weeks before. Okay?
Now we know how you do it.
All right, now hold on a second.
I don't even want the money.
Money? You'd have to give it to me. I booked him.
Answering
a call from Paramount is not booking.
True or false?
I did not answer a call from Paramount.
You hate Mike August more than Bonaducci does, though, right?
He's fine.
He creeps you out.
I think Mike's
he creeps
fine.
You out. He creeps out all ladies. His mom is creeped out sexually by him. You understand? It's that bad. Mike. Okay, let me say this. You sort of throwing a giant gill net out over Hollywood is not going to work in the future in terms of you laying claim to these celebrities, because we all know you want everyone all the time and you constantly put it out there to everybody all the time, but that doesn't actually get them on the phone or get them into the studio.
Where do you get that logic? I specifically requested John Heater, and we got John Heater from the guy I specifically requested.
There's a second issue,
which is John Heater versus John Kerry. See, even though the online polling would suggest that Heater is ahead by 58-42 over Kerry, again, I think they do that not because they love Heater, but because they hate August. And they assume.
What did you do to somebody?
It's just his creepy vibe. You know, there's that weird guy in the office that freaks out all the girls.
Right.
That's Mike. That's Mike August, except for he's been banned from the building.
Sure.
The point is I hate to side with the creepy guy from the office, but I think John Kerry is a better booking or a bigger name than John Heater. John Heater's in the number one movie.
Yeah, again this week.
But to me, and maybe it's just the people I would personally talk to, if somebody said to me, who did you talk to this week that was interesting? Or they said, you never get anyone interesting on that show or anyone good on that show. I would probably spit out John Kerry faster than I would spit out John Heater.
John Kerry, almost president. John Heater, Napoleon Dynamite.
I wouldn't spit out John Kerry. That's how impressed I am with that.
Really?
Guy. Yeah.
And in terms of our conversations with Heater and Kerry, the two Johns, which did you think was better?
They were both good. We spoke to them for about an equal length of time. Kerry seemed to have a little more time because he wasn't doing the junket. He didn't have the person from Paramount saying he had 8 more minutes before he was going to hang up on it.
He didn't back down from the speedboat questions.
Yeah, he railed against the administration.
Like kind of dug
yeah. The Swift boat
certainly
stuff.
Certainly Swift boat, thank you. Certainly in the importance, what is important, John Kerry. On the other hand, God rest his soul, if Paul Lynde came in here and was on a real roll, because I happen to think he was brilliant, or even Rip Taylor, when they're just screaming Moses with confetti.
From,
the
Hollywood
like the best square ever came in here and delivered. They'd beat an A-lister in my. That's why the judging's so difficult.
All right, so
I can't be objective because I want Angie to win.
I think
it's okay. I don't really care.
Why do we all hate August?
I think John Kerry was probably a little bit better than John Heater on the phone, and I think John Kerry's a little better guest or a little better name. Anyway, so I'm going to give the nod from last week to John Kerry. In which case, the controversy is over because August wins based on that. And August, please spend that money on some socks. Would you please buy some socks with that money?
How about it, Mike? Socks?
All right. Mike, go back to bed, Mike.
Boo. I was born in August, and now I'm thinking of changing my birth month.
Moving.
No,
I know.
I'm going to say June.
He's the most lovable, hateful guy in the world.
Yeah, it was a mistake that I hate him, too.
And no, it wasn't.
And I want Angie, everyone.
She loves everyone except one man.
No, I don't hate him at all.
She tastes like champagne.
I really don't hate him.
I know. You're just creeped out by him. Watch. I want to watch her actually shake like she saw a cockroach. Imagine having sex with Mike August.
I can't. The weird thing is, he's a handsome man, and I believe he was some sort of collegiate athlete. Am I right?
He was a college quarterback. He's an attractive man.
Yes, a lawyer.
He's a lawyer. He's educated.
Wait, my rape whistle keeps going.
Evidently. Hung like a black rhino.
What is the problem?
That is the story in Hollywood.
On paper, this guy has everything you would want.
Yeah, well, let me just...
See, that's the way Hollywood is. Do you know the difference between a black rhino and a white rhino?
I am never going to get
the
tired
of
this.
Horn.
Really?
Yeah, they're brown the same color.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Well, his horn is a different shape than mine in that it's mammoth. A lot of Asians trying to cut it off and use it for an aphrodisiac. I want to say this.
I just got to want to cut it off.
The show has reached a new low.
He'd still have more than us. The point is, with women, and guys, listen to this. Women work off vibes. They don't work off a checklist that they have on a clipboard. That's what guys do. Guys look down and they go, tall, bosomy, small ass, nice teeth, I'm in.
Yep.
That's how guys. Women.
Wait, you left off smart and funny.
Huh?
Go
ahead. Let me check the back of the paper. Sorry, no smart and funny on this list, honey. You're going to have to go to the back of the line. You're not getting in my club.
Let me check my list.
What's on our
let
list?
Let me just check my list.
We don't
real
have a
quick.
List. We got a vibe.
My list says not dead for over an hour.
Right.
Yeah, I'm good.
45 minutes is fine.
You have a vibe. You get a vibe. This is where the short, creepy guy who with the stringy hair, who we're all pissed off is dating the supermodel, gets to date the supermodel because he's put this vibe off. Women do that. I've said it many times. There is the guy at the office that everyone loves, and then there's the guy at the office that everyone is creeped out by. And it's weird because if the chick walks in wearing a nice skirt and just put a little makeup on and she comes walking by and the cool guy goes, looking good. Looks like someone's going to get laid tonight. It's like, oh, Kurt. And they just laugh and they keep moving on. When the creepy guy says it, they go right into the boss's office. And it's like, that guy, he raped me in the hall.
With
it's
his
like,
eyes.
All he said was, so you have a nice skirt. I need to go home and take a bath.
Actually, you go to human resources. You don't go to the boss.
No, honestly, that's true. Right. Because Danny Bonaducci could say pretty much anything to me and I wouldn't be offended. Same with Brian or same with you. But if Mike August made a comment about my skirt, I might
would freak out. Right. So when you're the creepy guy,
and I like him.
The creepy transcends your looks, transcends your income, transcends everything. And guys don't understand that. You see, guys are worried about their brag sheet. Guys are like, well, I'm going to wear this and I'm going to say I climbed this mountain and I got this degree from this whatever. It's all out the window. Women tap into a vibe. If you can get your vibe going on the right wavelength for their tuning fork, you're in. You'll get to do something that rhymes with fork all night with everybody versus the guy who seems to have it all together but is uncomfortable in his own skin and thus will never get laid. Thank you. The more you know. Work on your vibe, not your rap.
I just want to do something that rhymes with fork rather than has the first and last same letter.
We need to take a break. I will...
Because I'm doing the math on that.
I let it go. Why don't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I quit playing that music. I want to quickly tell you.
I'm going to dunk that girl right over there right immediately.
I'm
going to take my spork. And I'm going to go crazy.
How I put my foot in my mouth. So anyway, Mike August wins the 500 from this week. Sadly, and look, if this all goes well, he could be up 12 grand if he runs the table at the end of the April booking billing period. I told you guys I was over at the Kimmel Clan's Easter egg party yesterday, having a couple of drinks and running around watching the kids hunt for Easter eggs and all that stuff. It was good times. I had this weird thing where I was talking to Jimmy the night before, where I was at some Kimmel related whatever. And I said, hey, good job on filling in for Larry King on CNN last night. He filled in for Larry King and did a great job. And one of the things he, one of the topics was a sort of stalkerazzi, paparazzi, and getting into it with somebody. And he got into it with somebody because everyone thinks that stuff's supposed to roll off your back until they start writing lies about you and humiliating you. And I said, you know, I never care about that stuff and I never got, no one cares what I do, but I did read somewhere online just earlier today that I had Crohn's disease, which is essentially irritable bowel.
Yeah.
It's a problem. It's a horrible disease, a chronic disease with your bowel. And the thing that's funny about it is I have the opposite of that, which is there's no food too spicy. There's nothing. There's no food that can be left out or on the ground long enough. I pick stuff up and I eat it. I'm the kind of guy who'll just walk around. And if somebody's eating a bowl of nuts or something, I'll just reach my hand to it and throw it into my mouth and keep walking.
You've got the 5-day rule.
Never gotten sick from anything I've ate to the best of my knowledge. And I'm not lactose intolerant. I'm not allergic to anything ever. And I have an ironclad stomach. Nice. I have the opposite of Crohn's disease, but yet it said Crohn's disease. And I realized, oh, people will pick that up and run with it because it's so specific and so odd. Why would you make that up? And as I was explaining that to Jimmy yesterday, I talked to him about the day before. And another friend of mine came up and said, hey, I read on Wikipedia you had Crohn's disease. And I said, I didn't even read it on Wikipedia. Right. Now it's on Wikipedia that I have Crohn's disease. And I was saying, I don't have Crohn's disease. I don't know why somebody... And the woman next to me said, I have Crohn's disease. What do you want to know about it? And I thought, oh. A second ago, I was railing against the system, and now I have to pretend to be interested.
Right.
She went on to explain to me that she had a bag...
colostomy.
Yes, and then I started to feel bad because I was treating the Crohn's disease as if they said I had a venereal disease.
Right.
It was that kind of thing. You see, it goes venereal disease in the ladder of sort of shameful diseases. It goes venereal, and then it goes ones where you leave a stain in your underpants, and then eventually it works its way down to cancer and things like that, although not cancer in parts that are embarrassing, cancer in the lungs and the liver, not in the parts that you use
it's
for sex.
A 10-point list, of which I have 7.
Right.
VD being the first most embarrassing, and then things to do with intestinal.
I did ask the difference between irritable bowel and Crohn's, and the idea that is that irritable bowel is just the umbrella that goes over Crohn's and other diseases that have to do with that area. But for those of you who are working on your Wikipedia page, I do not have Crohn's.
Who would start that rumor?
Disease. I don't know, but it's a great plan because... Death Dog 47.
Yep.
I'm explosive.
Billy.
Point is go specific and go bizarre, and everyone will go with you and assume it's true. T.
Yes.
Speaking of news.
Yeah.
What's coming up in it?
Well, of course, a couple big premieres last night. Just a peaceful night at the Sopranos playing Monopoly. We'll talk about that and Entourage, and Al Sharpton is angry at a radio personality. I will play you the reason why.
We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Coming up this morning on The Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
Yes, this is Jack Silver. I'll continue to hold. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? Hey, Jack fans just trying to win $10,000 and outbook August. I don't want to say who I'm about to book, but let's just say it rhymes with Macaulay Culkin. Damn it. Jackman, not great at the rhymes. From The Sopranos, we'll talk to Frank Vincent. Ozzy and Ray are going to review Grindhouse. And a big announcement coming up later in the show. Let's just say it involves hot chicks, soapy water, and tons of boobs. No, the Jackman's not interviewing new interns. Grow up, peeps. Wait.
Thank you, Jack. Adam Carolla with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci on The Adam Carolla Show.
All right, now my favorite part of the morning, Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Syndicated radio host Don Imus in a little trouble. He and his producer were discussing the NCAA Women's Championship game. It was a Rutgers. Mm-hmm. And, well, I'll just play you the conversation.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final. Yeah, Tennessee won last night. Seventh championship for Pat Summitt. Man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
Awesome rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's a nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to tell you that now. Oh, man, that's some move.
Nappy-headed hoes. Now, the team happens to consist of 8 black women.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Not if you ask Al Sharpton, who believes there was racial bigotry. Now, even though Don Imus has apologized, Al Sharpton is still angry.
Well, he didn't bring up the hoe part.
That was the producer.
Or the news guy or whoever. He was like fed the hoe.
Yeah.
Which is funny. Sometimes when you're talking and you get rolling, somebody can throw in a word and you'll just and weave it right hoe. Into the thing.
There are two things you never want to do. Kiss or be fed the hoe.
Do not be fed the hoe.
There's certain areas that I have expertise. You've run into one of them. You never want to be fed the hoe.
I feed the hoe.
Right.
I'm not a...
Enough is enough!
Right.
I see.
You do not eat at that
That's not where you want to go.
Look for the purple bandana. That means I do the feeding. Got I'm it. Not the receiving.
Got it.
Yeah. It's kind of bad. I know I should be more outraged, but somebody brought up hoe, and I know what it's like to talk and try to be funny for 4 hours every morning. Your mouth just starts flapping. There's no teleprompter to get off, and you put your foot in your mouth. Oftentimes. The thing I'm more offended by is how... Don Imus, by the way, probably makes $20 million a year.
Yeah, that's what I'm offended by.
Really?
And yeah. I've never heard Don Imus because he's not on in a... Well, I don't even get to listen to my radio show or anyone else's in this town because I can get no reception where I live. I only get Mexican. I get ranchero music,
right.
And then I get religious Mexican stations, which is now offensive on offensive for me. But I don't get to listen to him. But I do see him on
MSNBC.
MSNBC,
is it?
And he's just sitting there like the crypt keeper, waiting to die.
With
it's
that
like
crazy hat.
He's got the hat. He's got the sunglasses on, and his news person is like, "Hey, you know what's going on in the Middle East?" And he's like, "Well." Something. We got to get out of there.
Hose.
Don't know much longer. That's what else going on?
Some nappy-headed hoes.
Now, is it because he was specifically talking about a group of people and there was no humor? Because there's a very funny song by a couple of white guys. Where I forget the name of the band, Brian will probably be able to help me out on this. Where I reach back and I smack the bitch and I grabbed her by her nappy weave.
That's a Dynamite Hack cover. Okay. NWA.
They're all a bunch of like little white suburban guys, and they play it like to acoustic guitars, and it's very funny.
Yeah, they're covering a song originally done by a group who is black.
Okay. I don't think Imus is that hip.
No, nor do I. But I don't see malice in his heart as much as I see an old guy yapping for 4 hours a day without cue cards.
Yeah, and it happens in radio. It doesn't happen in TV. It's not like Jay Leno, because he's going on year number 16 over the Tonight Show, just stands up there and instead of delivering a monologue, just stands there and goes like, "What's going on with Anna Nicole? I'm going back to the desk." That doesn't exist in TV because there's a live audience and there's cameras there. Radio, first off, everyone in radio has a personality disorder. Secondly, when you remove the part where they're the new broom, trying to sweep clean, trying to impress the boss, trying to get new listeners, when they're going on year 87 on the air nonstop and they're making $20 million and they're doing the show from their ranch in the basement of the ranch with an ISDN line, it just becomes... And that's all I was having. It's funny. Watch him on TV, everybody. Turn that show on and just watch Imus do an interview with a senator or talk about the news. And he don't even try. Even Stern, the great Howard Stern, after 15, 20 years, I would sit with him. And he'd be doing the news and he'd just be like, "What's next, Robin? What's next? What's next?
Do you want to know what's next for me?"
Yes.
Sopranos last night.
Yes.
The 6th season premiere.
Guineas.
Yeah. Oh, Bonaducci said it.
But if you're of that ethnic group, you can say what you want, almost.
See, that's it. You can make any Jewish joke you want, right?
Yes, but
well,
if you did,
to hell
I'd
with those wives.
That's right. Like, Imus can say anything he wants about the dead because
he's
among them.
He died 8 years ago on the air.
Nine.
That's right.
By
the way,
WAP
stands for without papers.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Well, on The Sopranos last night, You know who was offended? Bobby. When Tony started saying, you know, things about his sister Janice. They were all off in the woods at the lake having a nice time playing Monopoly. It went south. A fight broke out. And Tony seemed to lose the fight fair and square. But like any guy, he had a few excuses.
That swell rug hadn't have been there, would have been Bobby on his back, not me.
What?
I wouldn't have slipped. I would have kicked his ass.
Do you think I care?
Oh, you don't, huh? You were there. That night in the crowd in the parking lot at Pizza World when I took Dominic Tedesco. I didn't even know your name, but I remember our eyes met and you were blown away.
I was in high school. I'm supposed to be turned on by you beating up your brother-in-law at your 47th birthday?
Begs an interesting question.
And I was watching and I was thinking, a little too much family outing and not enough mobster action. But then I thought, that's right. They're smart. This is foreplay. They're building
right
here.
Somebody's taking a nice pick to the eye.
I want more, but they can't give me that halfway into the first episode of the 9-episode season. But it's starting to simmer.
Yeah, here we go.
I think next week is going to pick up. I mean, you mentioned it. Last season started out a little slowly with the coma. It wasn't necessarily the Sopranos. And then it got amazing in the end.
Right. Crescendo.
Well, what they do with shows like The Sopranos is it's really a movie that comes in sections. And if you start out with Tony Soprano starts to lose a fight and kills his brother and that's that, you can't have it.
Right.
It has to happen in the second act and then feel really bad by the third or whatever.
The problem is it's a 9-hour movie.
Right. It's a 9-hour movie. Right.
Yeah, Tony can't go to jail on the first episode. That's the end of the... I mean, he was arrested, but of course then he was released.
Good example.
Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Entourage was also showed its premiere last night. And Ari is no longer Vince's agent, but he's still trying to get in there. And how he's trying to lure Vince back is by getting him a role in his beloved movie called Medellin.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a conversation between those two.
I know you better than she does. I know everything that you need. I can get you anything that you want, and I can't sit back and watch you away your whole career like
Ari,
this.
Ari, you said you just wanted to be friends.
I lied.
Man.
I can't just be friends. I just can't.
Jesus. I mean, you think you're the only one who can help me?
I had a goal for you when we first started. We didn't reach that goal.
The well-placed F-bomb or S-bomb is just... You shouldn't... It's really what steroids is to athletics. You shouldn't be judged against the other athletes that are sort of tied by conventional rules. It's unfair. You know, when you... compare Entourage to a sitcom on a network or Sopranos or whatever. If you could just give me a couple of those F-bombs to drop during the course of my drama or my comedy, I could get to the next level. It just supersizes things. It turbocharges them. And it is really the difference between steroids. One guy gets to use the juice and the other guy doesn't. He has that little competitive advantage and he wins the Golden Globe.
I happen to agree also in real life that just in real life, a well-placed F-bomb cannot be replaced by any other word.
Yes.
Frig. Right. Something like that.
No.
You know, it doesn't. When you look a guy in the face and you say, F you, and you mean it, he's been told. Like, that's it. There's a line that it has been crossed in the sand that it cannot come back from.
The funny thing about radio is I can't tell you all the conversations I've had that have went like this on the air. And so this guy gets in my face and he says, F you. Well, he doesn't say F you, but he says, F you. He doesn't say F you, but he says, you. So I tell him, I don't give a S, but I didn't say S. I mean, I said, I said, and then I realized how retarded I am.
Mark Furman dropped by and said the N word. So I said, F you. You don't say that in my house.
He didn't say the N word. I mean, he said the whole N word. Yeah. And I said the whole F you, F.
Well, what about this weekend at the BO, the box office?
Oh, very nice.
Very big disappointment for Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino. Their movie Grindhouse came in number 4th and only made $11.6 million. Experts are saying women don't really enjoy going to horror movies and guys aren't that enthusiastic about a 3-hour movie, so nobody really came out to see Grindhouse.
It's supposed to be great. We're going to get a review from Ozzie and Ray on that in a couple of few, but we have collectively dumbed down the nation to the point where our attention span is about 15 minutes. And if you say 3 hour anything, no thanks. I mean, you tell the average guy these days, T's going to give you a 3 hour BJ, be like, she's hot, but 3 hours. Yeah. People just can't commit to 3 hours anymore. It used to be you'd go to the movie for 7 hours. You'd walk in at noon and you'd come out and it'd be dark outside. Right. Now 3 hours, forget about it. I believe that's the bump. There's plenty of action. There's plenty of boobies. There's plenty of car chases. It's the 3 hour part that is bumped,
absolutely,
guys.
And there's some talk that production was bogged down because Robert Rodriguez, this is the rumor, had an affair with one of the movie stars, Rose McGowan. He's married with 4 kids. His wife works with him. I believe she's a line producer and does the accounting. So they had to stop down production for a month while they worked all of this out. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that helped the movie in terms of getting it to a tight 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yes.
Number three at the box office, Ice Cube's family comedy, Are We Done Yet?, made $15 million. Number two, the animated Meet the Robinsons. And number one, still, Blades of Glory with $23 million, up to a total of $68.4 million in its second week.
How's this theater guy get to be a movie star? Yeah. I don't get it.
Don't know.
Nice
but
guy.
How'd he lose to John Kerry in the Outbook August competition?
He's unique. He's an individual.
He's a goof.
Well, he lost Outbook. He lost to John Kerry this week. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
Frank Vincent from The Sopranos, our favorite Frank Vincent. He's Phil Leotardo. He was prominently displayed last night on The Sopranos episode at the beginning. And through the here's what's coming up in season whatever The Sopranos, it seemed to suggest that he's going to be in it
more than
quite a bit. Yeah, and be one of the key story plots or points. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show from HBO's The Sopranos as Phil Leotardo.
In light of recent humiliations, it's an honor to be joined by men. And not cornhole and suckers like married my cousin. He should f***ing die.
Frank Vincent on The Adam Carolla Show.
You see, you couldn't do that on ABC.
Nope.
Bleeps and all. The Sopranos is such a good show that I may get divorced over it because it was all the talk yesterday with me and the wife. We are going to get together. We're going to watch The Sopranos tonight. We've TiVo'd The Sopranos. We're going to sit down at 8 o'clock. We're going to watch The Sopranos. It's a rare, and it's sad that we count watching TV together as some personal close time with me and my wife, but we decided we're going to do it, and then Natalia had a meltdown about 8:05, and we started yelling at each other, and she said, I'm going upstairs to watch The Sopranos, and I said, fine, I'm going downstairs to watch The Sopranos, which is a euphemism for me attempting to perform oral on myself. It got confusing.
Dude, use mine. I got to go check my email.
I gotta go check Danny's. Oh no, my email. If I say Danny's, it'll seem weird.
Yeah,
but I watched it and I loved it. Frank Vincent.
Hi Adam, how are you?
Good to speak to you, Frank. Say hi to Danny and Teresa. Yes.
Hi gang, how are you?
Hey man.
Hi.
Adam, you perform oral on yourself?
I said I try. I attempt.
Oh, because what's his name is famous for that, right?
That's right.
We won't mention his name.
We won't mention Ron Jeremy's name. No, we will not, unless you were talking about Milton Berle.
I thought you were talking about how I got this job.
That was on Jack Silver. Please. Hey, Frank, enjoyed last night's episode and really started to think of it. At first, I got a little frustrated. I was like, get out of this lake house and get back onto the mean streets of New Jersey. And then I thought, No, this is what's called foreplay.
This exactly, 1,000% right.
This is the build.
In.
That's right. We need a little foreplay before we get to it.
Is anybody else hearing this man's voice? What does Frank know about foreplay?
It's a good...
Can I get it? It's just I don't know you, sir. You seem like a gentleman and a scholar. You wrote a book. I couldn't be more proud to know you, but foreplay out of your mouth sounds a lot like this to me. Yo, come here.
Well, let me ask, Frank.
To be fair, he does say, take your shoes off.
Frank, what would foreplay be like for you, since you did write The Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man?
foreplay would be like a little dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably tell you not to wear any undies.
Classy.
Hot.
Okay, then what?
Yeah.
And at the dinner table in the restaurant, I would put my foot on the chair or something.
Classy.
Actually, and that's then, kind of fun.
And yeah, it's fun. It's exciting. And, you know, and during the dinner, I would say just go in the ladies' room and take them off and then come back.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a good move.
And then we get in the car and we go home. And on the way in the car, we do a lot of manipulation.
What do you mean we? You or me?
Well, he's got to drive. Somebody's manipulating a 2,000-pound metal object.
Some people can do that and drive.
He doesn't mean the royal we.
He means me.
That's right. He means him and a scepter.
I mean, I touch you, you touch me.
Yeah. Now I'm getting hot.
Now, I like this thing in the restaurant. Do you lean over and whisper, go to the bathroom and take off your panties and come back?
Oh, wait, absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, Frank. Yeah. I know you're calling from the set. Is that true?
Sure.
And you guys are doing what? Doing some pickups, some reshoots?
Doing some shots that we owe on scenes that we have not finished.
Uh-huh. So now, is The Sopranos, the 9 episodes, are they 85% finished? Or is there a few more? Like, how many more days do you have left on The Sopranos?
Probably a week to 10 days left on Sopranos.
But you know how it ends, correct?
Of course.
All right, because sometimes they'll keep that a secret and not shoot the end, or they'll shoot alternate endings or something like that. They didn't do that in this case.
Oh, no, they didn't do that in this case. So everybody's aware of what the final
was. On that little CSI episode I did, nobody knew who did it because it was the first one to go unsolved. Even the writers didn't know, and they shot alternative endings. I've seen it done.
Obviously, you can't tell us, Frank, but is it going to be one of these, or will we be shocked and surprised, or will we be satisfied with the ending?
You will be shocked and surprised. You will be shocked at the turn of events. You will be shocked at the outcome of certain situations.
Mm.
And you don't expect some of the things that are going to happen. I mean, there's a couple of real heavy things that happen.
Well, Frank... Vincent plays a Phil Leotardo, of course, on HBO Soprano. And when I saw the previews for next week, you seem to be featured fairly prominently in them. So it's safe to say that you and Tony are going to go to war, yes?
Well, that seems to be that seems to be the thing.
It was discussed in the canoe with Bobby, basically.
Yes.
Right? Can you remember what happened in The Godfather? They get in the canoe. People start getting whacked in canoes left and right.
It's true.
Right.
You go in the bathroom and take off your panties.
Oh, okay.
That was to you, Danny.
That was
you. No problem. You got me.
Frank, Vincent, it struck me over the weekend that I wanted to invite you to one of my projects. I have a movie at the Tribeca Film Festival. You're out there in New York, right?
Sure.
Do you live out in New York full time?
I live in New Jersey, yeah.
So you can make it out to Tribeca, right?
Really?
I'd love to see you at the premiere on the 26th.
Of what month? This month?
Yeah, yes, April.
Well, when you're coming in, let me know. When you're coming in, let me know. Give me a couple of days' notice.
All right.
And we'll make some plans, and I'll definitely like to come over.
Yeah, we'll go out to dinner. You can throw me a toe.
I think De Niro has a restaurant in Tribeca.
He does.
How about it, Frank Vincent? It's a good movie. It's the Tribeca Film Festival. You can say hi to Bobby De Niro and walk the red carpet in my movie.
It would be my pleasure, sir.
Oh, great. I'll get you an official invitation. All right, Frank, we know you have to get back to work on the set. And when you say on the set, where are you right now physically?
We're in Morristown, New Jersey.
And are you in a bar?
Physically I'm in my trailer.
And are you at the Bada Bing, or where are you?
We're in a location on the highway. We're in a gas station.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
you go to a lot of work to become a big movie star to end up in a trailer in Jersey.
And can you guys film without people driving by and honking Tony Soprano and stuff like that?
The security, a lot of people taking care of traffic.
A lot of looky-loos, I'd imagine. Yeah.
What actors are you working with today?
I can't tell you that.
All right, Frank. I will. We'll talk to you before that. But I'll
My panties just went back on.
I'll see you in Tribeca.
see?
You had her and you lost her, man.
Jimmy Gandolfini, Edie stopped up.
There you go. Panties gone.
Right back off.
All right, Frank Vincent. Also, if you want to go to frankvincent.com, you can get a coffee mug that says "Get Your Shine Box," which I love.
Get your fucking shine box,
guy's guide to being a man's man. Big fan of the show and a big fan of you, Frank Vincent. We'll talk to you next week. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
thank
Frank.
You so much.
All right, Frank Vincent, Phil Leotardo, Sopranos, nice. Best show on TV. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Well, it's Monday, thus we will be doing Music Monday, and I believe the topic is best and worst road trip songs. Now, it's Easter or spring break for a lot of people. A lot of people taking a road trip. This is a song you'd either want to hear on your road trip when you pile into the car with your buddies and head toward Fort Lauderdale or Palm Springs, wherever the hell you're doing your spring breaking, or the one you would rather jump out of the car at 70 miles an hour if you heard it come on the radio. Best and worst road trip songs, 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, it's another Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, and since it's spring break, we figured we'd do the best and the worst road trip songs. Piled in a car with a whole bunch of your buddies, what do you want to hear? And what don't you want to hear? Let's get back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I already see some good ones up on the board. 866-901-ADAM. We'll be playing yours as best we can. I think we have most of them and usually do. We will start with a good example, just so people know what it could be, and then we will go to where it should never go. First, the good. Little Led Zeppelin for you. It's got the word ramble right in it. It's back when you had to write a song about rambling, and you had to write a song about the man.
Yeah, we discussed that.
There are two songs you had to write if you had a band in the 70s. And I like the idea that rambling was considered a disease in the 70s. You'd met a woman, it's like, I love you, baby. I love you. I love the loving. I love the cooking. I love everything. Now, here's the problem. I'm stricken with rambling disease. I have to ramble on. You're a beautiful woman. And the good news is in my travels, when I ramble back to town, because eventually there's only so much highway in this great country of ours, I'll eventually ramble through your town again. Then I'll give you some more loving, but then I have to ramble on again.
But I appreciate that the chick will wait for you when your only excuse for leaving her is, I must ramble now.
Is rambling in your system like herpes
yes.
and you can't get rid of
you're
it?
You're a rambling man. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's an incurable disease where you have to have sex with strangers on the road for the rest of your life. And I just like the idea of it's a fairly viable excuse for nailing another chick in another town in another day. Sorry, baby. And there's the very uncomfortable conversation where I have to sit down and explain to you I'm a rambling man and I have to ramble. The twist to me, if I was a rambling man... Because in every good rambling song they discuss, you'll wake up tomorrow and I'll be gone.
Right.
I will have to ramble. I'm going to write a song called The Noontime Rambler, which is you'll wake up in the morning and I'll be sleeping. So you quietly make breakfast and go to work and I'll be gone when you come back because I'll get up about 11, eat, rub one out, and then I ramble. Noontime Rambler.
There's nothing about the word ramble that implies I'm in a hurry.
Yes, you know? But for some reason, these guys have to ramble at first light, and I like to sleep in and ramble. I like to ramble through REM. I'm a rambling man. Write that down. Noontime Rambler by Adam Carolla.
Good.
By the time you're on your second 10-minute, two-hour break at work...
I'll
be in Phoenix.
Right. All right. Well, that's Ramble on Led Zeppelin. Good road song. Now, we go to a very bad road song. I'm not even sure how I thought
you
of this
seem
one.
You so pleased.
Well, it's such an obnoxious... It's an obscure song. Charlie Rich. What don't they love to do? 1973. Behind closed doors. Number 15 on the charts.
And when we get behind closed doors.
and six of your buddies packed into an Impala. Here's the part that makes it super gay.
And she makes me glad that I'm a man.
She makes me glad I'm a man.
I'd like to have that effect on someone.
What goes on behind closed doors? Horrible, horrible rambling song.
Pretty poor rambling song. And Teresa's take on it is funny. I'd like to have that take on something, make him feel like a man.
I would.
Everything
I
do that makes me feel like a man makes chicks think I'm an ass. They just go, look how much that guy drinks and fights. What an ass.
Well, from one bad road song to another bad road song.
This world makes you crazy and you take it all you can.
You and your buddies loading up to go to Vegas. Play a little Cyndi Lauper.
That's right.
And I see your true colors.
Drinking Mickey's out of a Pepsi can.
I see your true colors. That's why I love you.
See, on a female road trip, this would be all right.
See, this song makes me suspicious.
Janis Joplin, maybe, but not this. Yeah.
My all-time hero.
All right. Now, if Jack Silver hasn't already driven off the road from my 1973 Charlie Rich behind closed doors, we can go all the way back to 1960.
Jack, it's okay. We're going to play something contemporary.
No one knows what happened that day.
This is Tell Laura I Love Her. And the reason this is on.
But as they pulled him from the twisted wreck.
That's about a car crash.
This is awful road trip music in every way. Thematically and rhythmically.
Boom, 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 boom. That was a legitimate high-paying gig that doesn't exist anymore. The guy goes, boom, 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 boom. Guy made a pretty penny, put his kids through college, lived in a two-story house in a nice part of town, and all he did for a living was go, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, that was what's-his-face from Sha-na-na.
Yeah, the
Bowser.
Bowser.
Yeah.
Now he's got to work at the machine shop.
A lot of guys used to go bum 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 bum. That was they were replaced by Casios. I don't know what it is. There must be a union.
The bum 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 union.
Yes. Here he goes. Bum 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 bum. You know, somewhere that guy's drunk, telling someone who doesn't care for the 100th time, "I was the guy." Bum 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 bum. And you know, he also talks about other guys who go boom, 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 boom.
But why, he was better?
Yeah. You know that guy from Elvis's backup band, the Jordanaires, who goes boom, boom, boom? Puss! That guy's a pussy. I would kick his boom, boom, boom ass. And nobody cares.
One of my biggest fears in life, being 90, because my grandfather lived to be 100, and he was a fairly big radio star in Philadelphia.
Boom, 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 boom.
And he'd tell these stories, and he'd go, and that man was Steve Ralphinson. And we'd all go again. Nobody had ever heard of him since 1970.
Yeah, it's sad when you sort of cap your story with the super recognizable name who's been dead for 50 years.
I'm positive. And I don't want it more than anything, but the idea of being 80 and looking at somebody and saying, no, it was called the Partridge Family.
Yes.
We played instruments.
Please don't let that. Just somebody just shoot me in the head the day that happens to me.
Boom, 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 boom. tell Lori I love her. Boom, 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 boom. Tell Lori to eat something. Boom, 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 boom. Tell her Keith is just a toy. Boom, boom.
And the show has reached a new low.
Yeah. At least I'm not the one doing it. At least I'm not going to get 100 emails saying, you're bringing up the part drill again.
Boom, 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 boom. All right, we need to take ourselves a boom, boom, boom break. When we come back, I have my bottom two. T, Danny got their top and bottom two. And then there's you at 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday, best and worst road trip songs, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. So what made your list? The best and the worst road trip songs ever. Call 866-901-ADAM. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Here I go.
One of these
songs I'm not proud of liking, but I do like
this song.
What song is it?
Here I go again on my own.
White Snake.
Come on, baby.
That guy got more chicks, and he was old then.
He's like 150 now. He's Iris.
Yeah. That Tawny Kitaen.
Was on the car?
Crawling around on the hood of the Jag.
Boy, she turned out well, huh?
The young lady landed on her feet. Yeah, sure.
She had to punch her husband a couple times.
She had fallen from a 9-story building, but she landed on her feet.
Yes.
I do like this song.
All right. Where the hell were we? Yes. Road trip songs, best and worst. T.
Yes.
Give me your best, then give me your worst.
Okay. Well, this is the song I've probably listened to more than any other single song ever. When I ramble, I like a little bit of a country twinge to it. This is a singer-songwriter named Lucinda Williams. It's my favorite song.
Know her? Yeah.
It's called Can't Let Go. Which, according to my therapist, is one of my biggest problems. It's true. This is a great song, and it's from an album called Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, which is also a great song.
That's right in the title down.
But isn't this a good driving beat?
It makes you feel like you're in a movie where you're driving.
Yeah.
Which is could be dangerous because I may just let go of the wheel and go to the back seat for some popcorn and take a leak and head into oncoming traffic. But yeah, this feels like it should be in a movie where Drew Barrymore's with Susan Sarandon and they're covering some ground.
Yes.
See, this is my therapist says this is my biggest problem. Everything makes me think I'm in a movie. Like, everybody's watching, so I better do something really outlandish any second for no reason.
Ah, yeah, this song.
Isn't this good?
Yeah, this seems like it. Seems like I have heard this or seen this in movies.
I wouldn't be surprised. Lucinda Williams songs do end up in movies occasionally, but they're pretty obscure. This never even charted. It came out in 98.
Not you, because you're an Emmy Award-winning writer, but every chick I ever met that wanted to sound smart would bring this chick's name up.
Really?
Oh, Lucinda Williams. Yeah, she's fabulous.
Yeah.
She couldn't add to seven, the girl, but she knew Lucinda Williams.
Lucinda is a great writer.
All right. Well, that's good. Now, what's bad?
Okay, I'm going to play this for you. And see if you figure out why it's a bad song for a road trip.
All right. It's a soup.
Well, this is a song called...
Oh, Biggie? Shot in his car?
It's a song called I Want to Be Down. She'll start singing. A little bit of a long build-up.
Singer
She's not a great driver.
Halle Berry?
Brandy.
Oh, Brandy. Oh, okay. I was looking for a female rapper or singer who was killed, not killed somebody else.
I think it's worse to think about a horrible... I'm already a bad enough driver as it is. I don't need to worry that I'm going to kill somebody behind the wheel.
I was looking for the comedy.
Me too.
Month number nine.
I'm looking for the comedy.
Here comes the funny. Here it comes.
Yep. Well,
Brandy.
Keep waiting.
Yep.
I got a 6-month head start on you, Bonaducci. All right.
But
smart.
Now,
Brandy.
There's a dead chick at the end. That makes it pretty.
It's called black comedy.
That's right. And black driver.
But don't use the word nappy.
There's no racial bigotry here.
All right, Danny, give me your good and give me your bad.
All right. My good is so easy. You know, I play on the nose with this guy. I take this game very literally. Here you go.
Creedence. Rambling Band. Love this song.
Thank you.
Rambling Band.
Damn right. Yeah. It's right there in the title.
Is he rambling?
He's
traveling?
A fine bobble.
He's traveling. Close cousin to rambling.
Is the man after him?
He's, well, this isn't about the man. This is about going on the road.
He's got to go, but there is a chick involved.
He's going from town to town. He'll rock you. He'll love you. Then he'll split.
But he's not sad about it. He's just telling you facts. He's not like going, baby, this is how it works. He's just saying, dude, you should have known that before you boned me. I got to go.
Right.
All right, there you go.
All right, traveling band, Creedence.
Now, this is a bad traveling song just because it makes me want to blow my brains out, and I've heard worse than drinking while you're driving.
Nice white satin, booty
God,
blues.
You're fast.
I know.
Yeah. The part that really makes you want to drive into oncoming traffic is the poem at the end. It's like after 20 minutes of this dirge, at the very end, the guy's like, cold-hearted orb that rules the night. Yellow's white and black is right.
I've never gotten to
who
the
knows?
End.
Who knows? You'll never get to the end because you'll change the channel at minute 18. You'll switch over to anything, nothing.
Usually the vodka and Klonopin is kicked in by the end.
That is such an annoying. Yeah, you're pretty good at it because you just do it casually. I was talking to this girl this weekend, and any song that she would start to go, oh, Traveling Band, Creedence, reached number 2 in 1970. You just go, stop that. Stop doing that.
I'd say marry her if she wasn't 60 and morbidly obese.
How do you know what kind of school teachers I hang out with?
There's not a hot chick in the world that knows anything, that's except for Teresa Strasser.
Thank you.
But even she didn't know about the cold-hearted orb that ruled the night.
That's true. There are gaps in my knowledge.
And just because she was 60 and no morbidly obese did not mean I did not try and show her my orb.
This song was like, it was a different time in radio because, like, hey, the song's only 8.5 minutes long. How do we stretch it to 10? I know, we'll add a poem to the end of it. And it got played on the radio. All right. Very good selections, both you.
We both thank you.
Now we'll go to my number 2 song of songs I do not want to hear when I'm on a road trip. 1999, number 3, everybody.
Oh, no.
Mark Anthony.
I need to know.
Have no idea. I need to know why this guy bugs me so much.
Because he's ugly and he's famous and rich.
Maybe that's it. And everyone always says heartthrob, Latin crooner, and he looks like a rat that crawled out of a kiddie pool.
He's not cute, but I love this song.
Dude, you throw a pair of glasses on him with a little tape in the middle, he's in the Revenge of the Nerds.
He's an appetizer, not a main course.
I know him as a Mexican Skeletor. El Skeletor.
By the way, the same thing as those sonogram pictures of your babies.
Yes.
Oh, they're so cute. The Skeletor.
He whines. Is it an intention word? But the I need to know part never ends. And to me, it sounds like Latin flavored music for dumb white people.
I know, that's why I love it.
Then a girl, cause I need to know. I need to know.
This is the only song of his I like.
He's actually Peruvian, and the original version was I Need Some Blow. I Need Some Blow.
All right,
this is the whole song right here. Yeah. It never ends, yeah. And it drives me insane, and I don't know why he bugs me so much, but the song bugs me, and he bugs me more. Jack Silver has an offering quickly before we go
from
to break.
From the 2000s?
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Glad to see you're finally catching on with updating the songs. Mm-hmm. T.D., you guys got to get hip and get current.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
What do you got?
This is a good road trip song. Jackman's not a big road trip guy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When he goes on long drives, it's usually to transport miners across straight lines.
And if you've transported across a straight line, if you know what
across
I'm saying.
Across state lines. And if they're screaming or they're maybe a little bit hyper, this mellows them out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's some cool.
Oh, boy, John Mayer.
Oh, John Mayer, yeah. Sure.
He's with Jessica Simpson. You must love her.
Really mellows things out.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's the sweetest guy in the world, and I just want to beat him every time I see him sing.
John Mayer?
Yeah. He makes that I'm a singer face.
What's he singing in this song?
Some crap about your body being a wonderland.
Oh,
that
this
one, yeah.
This is the one where she has tar balls on her feet, is it?
I don't know.
Oh, is I like it a video? The one where fathers should be good to their daughters.
That's always nice.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We need to take a break. When we return, we will hear my number one offering, Danny and Teresa's number one, and yours as well. 866-901-ADAM. I see some good ones up here.
Yeah, a lot of good calls.
We'll play yours. We'll do our number ones. Then we'll have Ozzy and Ray in for a review of Grindhouse next on the Adam Carolla Show.
This month on the Adam Carolla Show, your chance to win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Outbook August in April.
Mike August books our talent.
The bar is pretty low.
You book a celebrity on the Adam Carolla Show.
We factor in level of celebrity.
Then you factor in level of performance.
Right. Anyone can win.
$10,000.
Even Mike August.
Mike August, you have something to prove.
What do I have to prove?
Well, you lost last time.
Outbook August in April.
It's your job, man!
On the Adam Carolla Show.
We'll keep that going all through this month. Mike August takes home the first bonus week. $500. We'll be doing that each week.
You got and Senator John Kerry.
Big 10 grand at the end. All right. It is Music Monday. It is road trip songs, best and worst. People going on road trips for spring break. Here is my best. Ooh. This is, well, a little band called Leonard Skinner.
Great band.
Yeah.
Even when they started dying, they were still good.
Yeah, still good and everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Mr. Breeze. It's rolling down that road. A lot of 18 wheels are rolling. If you do a lot of rambling, you're known as the Breeze or Rambling Man or Mr. Whatever, and you just keep blowing. That's right. Every single song they wrote was about nailing a chick and then getting in their pickup truck and leaving.
Yep. I'm gone like the wind.
All right.
I like that.
Mr. Breeze.
Very nice.
Leonard Skinner.
Very nice. A very nice band choice as well.
Yeah, good good road trip band, but now the worst song to listen to on your way to spring vacation. Number one, 1968.
See the tree, how big it's grown.
Oh my God.
Do you know it, Danny?
I know every word of the song.
You do?
Sing it.
I've already had a huge gay comment from Ray today. I don't know if I can come up with another.
Wow, you do know every single word of this song, Danny. He's even doing the backing vocals.
My own backups.
We got to get to the chorus.
Slipped and almost hurt herself. And I laughed till I cried. Was always young at heart.
I think
kind of dumb and kind of smart.
He's singing about either a horse or a dog that died.
It's his horse, I think.
It's a horse?
And I surprised her with a puppy.
Oh.
Kept me up all Christmas Eve 2 years ago.
Tried to give her a puppy to make up for the horse?
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
It was horse and puppy.
No.
Did horses eat puppies?
It's about his little girl who had a pony.
Maybe that's it. Had something to do with a horse dying.
Yeah.
Crying over some sad and silly.
Dude, are you gay?
Well, now here comes the bad part.
Okay.
And honey, I miss you.
Oh!
And I'm being good.
Like to get the chick together with the bum 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 guy.
Because yeah. She never works anymore either.
If only.
Bobby Goldsboro, 1968.
I know,
number
I'm about to crash.
One.
She wrecked the car and she
even better.
So afraid that I'd be mad.
Well, you shouldn't
what the heck?
Let the pony drive the friggin' car. That's a problem
right
there.
It's about a pony anymore.
I don't know what it's about.
I hate gay people.
And the pony got his masters from Brown. It's like, huh? Okay, all right. Bobby Goldsboro, honey, everybody.
It sucks to travel to and to try and figure out.
Right. All right. T.
All right.
Best and worst.
Here's a good one. Yeah. Old school classic rap is always good.
Yeah. Wantin' to be a big, you look good now you can.
This is Dr. Dre from his now classic album, The Chronic.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in 92, which was the last time I was cool.
Mm-hmm. Now and now what? Before the sweater vest?
I am wearing a sweater vest today, but I think it's cool.
This is one of the songs that Tim, my Russian rapper, morbidly obese, Catholic big brother, little ward, would sing when I would drive him to the beach. He'd just be like, hey, what is dope? This is Dr. Dre. He is so dope. He sings about the bitches and there's hoes and there's tricks. And then this kid learned English from listening to this stuff. So he'd be like, hey, when we go to the beach, we can find some beaches and we can tap some ass of some hoes. And I'd be like, you can't. And then he'd talk to women. Hello, bitches. Hello, hoes. Like, listen, you can't be. Meanwhile, the guy is ghostly white in 200 pounds and he's 11 years old. Hey, this to be at the beach with the beaches and I'm drinking the Pepsi free and the hoes and we're running free and they're two-piece bathing suits. Basically, and we will tap that.
They're the wild and crazy guys from
Saturday
Night Live.
That's what it sounded like. Yes. All right. Is this the one where the chicks in the background are yelling the F word?
There's a lot of F word. I had to get a clean version of Let Me Ride.
All right. So there's a good road trip song.
Yes. And now, you know, on the bad one, I brought you the Tuvan Throat Singers. Had to go all the way to Mongolia. When you asked me for the worst, I got to go all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
This time to Bulgaria, where folk singing is very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Bulgarian State Radio and TV Female Vocal Choir doing Polensky Sings. It gets better.
So we all just hopped into the Nova.
Yep.
Gassed up. We got our corn nuts. We got our beverages. We're ready to hit the road. It's going to be a 3-hour drive to Palm Springs. And we pop this baby in.
The Bulgarian.
Yeah. Can't even have a conversation over this.
What they do is they constrict their throats. They're extensively trained to constrict their throats to get this sound out. And here's a weird thing. This album was huge in between 86 and 88.
Wow.
Bulgarian folk music was very popular internationally.
You want to talk about too hip for the room.
Wow. I used to be a castrati and they grew back.
Too hip for the planet. Teresa Strasser, everybody.
My mom would play this and I would want to kill myself.
Well,
that explains all.
What's different about that Wednesday than any other Wednesday? Danny.
Only slightly more than usual.
I tried to be kind to Jack Silver, so I only went back to 96, but of course it's a remake from 59.
Ah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I've traveled everywhere.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah. I've been everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man.
On the nose, but right on.
Almost any Johnny Cash is good for a road trip.
Yeah, yeah, this one is physically about traveling.
Yeah. I've been everywhere.
Yeah, great song.
There are a couple reasons I love this guy.
It's like one of the first rap songs, really.
I can't play guitar at all, and I can play every Johnny Cash song.
Mm-hmm. Simple, yeah.
G-Z-D-G-C-D-G-D-C. That's it.
Is he swearing and just saying the first letter?
Yes.
All right, so let's hear... Good song. Let's hear the worst. To travel.
Now, this is specifically you're traveling with the guys. And you're going to do guy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Madonna dress you up?
Is somebody slipping you cards? How'd you do that?
No.
That's what all the girls
you know, pretty soon your hand's sliding over.
Music memory.
You're kind of holding your best friend's hand by accident.
Right. Mm-hmm. Dress you up in
I just can't do it. I'm pulling over the car. If they won't turn it off, I'm pulling over till it's over.
I wonder if Madonna cringes when she hears this stuff.
I think she probably hates Material Girl.
Yeah, you ever see like home movies yourself when you were, you know, 20 years younger and you just go, oh my God, was it?
No, that would have involved the exchange of money for a camera. And as you know, if it took batteries or plugged in, the Corollas did not own it. But yes, hypothetically, I would win if I saw pictures of me with my crazy hair in the seventh grade.
When I see me with that mop of red hair, so I look like Napoleon Dynamite, it always bums me out.
It would be great if you're singing Dress You Up in My Love. All right, well now...
That's cancer, Danny.
We have... we have...
Backed up all the Bulgarian women's vocals.
That was our offerings. Let's hear yours. Anita from Phoenix. Anita?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Anita? What do you got?
I love the whole first Boston album. Mm. Peace of Mind, Rock and Roll Band. Those are great driving songs.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have one that kind of would fit both.
Can almost hear it now.
Me too.
A thousand sorries to Danny, but point me in the direction of Albuquerque by the Partridge Family.
The stupidest song we ever did.
Is that the best or the worst?
It could be the best or the worst, depending if you have people in your car. Mm-hmm. No.
Then they have any respect for you.
If you got people in your car, it's the worst.
Point me in the direction of Albuquerque by the Partridge Family?
And point me in the direction of Albuquerque. I want to go home. Help me get home. I'd blow my brains out.
Where are his backup singers?
Here we go. All right.
In stupidness by the Partridge Family, followed by Echo Valley 26809.
Is that off the first?
Echo Valley 26809. I think it was our version of Jenny.
All right, let's keep going with your suggestions. This is...
Thank you, by the way, for even remembering
Scott
that.
From Sacramento. Scott?
Adam, how's it going, good. Brother?
What do you got for us?
Hey, I love the show. I think you're a genius, Adam.
Thank you.
Danny, you're awesome. And Teresa, if I wasn't married, I would totally stalk you.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
Dude, I'm married. I'll bone you right now.
Thank you, Danny.
I think the worst song for going on a road trip would be Muskrat Love by Captain and Tennille.
Mm, yeah. We were trying to get to the bottom of what even a muskrat was last time we heard this song. Yeah, this would just... You'd start crying. Then you'd wipe your tears away. Then you'd go off the road into a drainage ditch, and a car would catch on fire. But you would consider it a blessing if it was less than the halfway point of this song.
Okay, see, I see it differently. You're in the car. You're with your guys. No, not that I would ever do this again. We probably have thrown back a few.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just start making up the words.
No. Uh-huh.
You know, little muskrat likes it in his can. He's a homo. That's what you do.
Yeah, or worse, your hand just starts sliding across the bench seat and you find yourself holding it with Russ, the guy's riding shotgun. Mm-hmm. You exchange glances. Next thing you know, you pull over to rest stop and you announce who's got to go to the bathroom, and Russ's hand goes flying up and you guys say, you guys enjoy the rest of Muskrat Love. Russ and I are going to be back in just a moment.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
All right, let's see. We have the Allman Brothers, Midnight Rider, Come Sail Away by
Styx. Is that bad? Good, I'm going to guess bad. Yep.
Yep.
I must say this about this song. I break songs into different categories. There's the good songs that I want to hear and I can't get enough of. And then there are the songs that I have to admit are good. I just don't want to hear them ever again. They're effed out, as I like to say. And then there are the songs that aren't good, but I would not change the station if it came on. And if Come Sail Away by Styx came on, I would not switch the channel. I would listen to it.
I don't think that I've ever switched a channel. I just don't do it.
Really?
I change channels on the TV constantly. On the radio, I put on something that I can tap my toe to. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think Sharon, the caller, meant this to be a good or bad?
Sharon?
I think it's meant to be a good song.
Oh, well, you're just wrong.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
For traveling?
Yes, of course.
See, you know what you guys are doing wrong? You're either traveling to your man or away from your man, brokenhearted.
What's this, Sharon? Is this to or away from your man?
To jump back a couple of songs, Adam and I are traveling to the hoes and to the bitches. We're happy about going.
Me and Danny are rambling.
She's going towards her man through the desert of Arizona where she's living, yes?
Well, it does kick in at a certain point. I mean, it does kick in after about 20, 25 minutes.
So does acid, but it'll make it good for you.
It picks up to a snail's pace, yeah.
I just think it's a really good song.
All right. And do you listen to this at home?
I listen to it every once in a while when I'm going on a road trip. I just turn it on, and it's a good 10 minutes.
Now, when it turns on, you turn it up. What do all your cats do?
Sharon, do you have any cats?
I have one.
Yes, Shaggy.
Right.
That's half as many. Half as many as I do.
The other 19 killed themselves when she played Come Sail Away one too many times. They actually sought out the tainted food. It was a Jonestown. It was a feline Jonestown type situation.
Tainted food.
Meowschwitz.
Meowschwitz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Are you kidding when something's that good?
Oh, I deserved a faster rim shot than that.
Meowschwitz. Wow.
Let's do one more before we go to break. Yeah. Taylor.
Yeah.
What is your offering on the best road trip song?
The greatest road trip song of all time, Stranglehold by Ted Nugent.
Mm.
I don't know that.
Oh, you know this song. It's funny, when they interviewed Ted Nugent about this song, asking him if it was misogynistic.
Right.
He was like, no, it's about the love that a man and a woman share. Then he tries to get her in a stranglehold and break her face. which is what the lyrics are.
So it's not an emotional stranglehold. He actually chokes her out.
No, it's a real choke out, yeah.
And there's something about you're with another guy, and you. But now I put you in your place. I got you in a stranglehold, baby, and I'm going to break your face or something like that.
I prefer rambling.
At least he didn't shoot her with a crossbow.
Well, that's because he wasn't going to eat her.
That's true. All right, let's listen, hear what he says. At some point, he mashes her face when he's got her in the stranglehold.
Right there, I didn't like much. He's got her in a stranglehold, you better get out of the way. If you're in a stranglehold, you're not going anyplace.
Song's 9 hours long. Yeah. But
Eight and a half minute song.
It is, but play through it. I want to see, not on the air. Okay. You'll have to listen the whole thing off the air. Hold on. Taylor?
Yeah.
Nice offering, buddy.
Thanks, man. Keep up the good work.
What's going on? You're calling from Seattle?
Yeah, driving to work. Terrible.
What do you do?
I sell elevators.
Really?
Is that a hard sell? Like in a high rise, you just go say, hey, would you like some elevators? Or you just like to suck?
Mm-hmm.
It's got its ups and downs, Danny.
Yeah, it's
thank good. You, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't like the fact. There's two things that always bump me. The leading manufacturer of elevators is Otis.
Otis.
And when I think Otis, I think of one of two things. I either think of the drunk from the Andy Griffith Show, or I just think of a kindly, heavy-set gentleman of color who's wearing coveralls and has a third-grade education. That's not the guy who went in charge of getting me to the 55th floor safely. That and the other leading manufacturer of urinals is called American Standard. And I can't stand whizzing into something that has my country's great name on it. Those are the two things I'd like to see changed.
I see that because I notice the same things but complain about them differently because I know mine should say American Unstandard. Just like, I'm sorry, yours just doesn't measure up.
Substandard.
I'd like my urinal to say like Iran's best. And then I'm just whizzing, put their flag on the back. I'm just going on, not American Standard. Taylor.
Yeah.
Who makes more elevators, Otis or Schindler?
Otis.
Otis.
All right. And then I see Schindler, who is the second biggest manufacturer, and I get bumped by that. Schindler's List? Is this the guy? Is it the same guy?
I wonder how many Jews he saved in this elevator. What a man.
All right, Taylor?
Yeah.
Good job, buddy.
This is very interesting.
Do we have time for one more?
No.
Oh, I like Manny's.
Manny? Oh, Highway to Hell, AC/DC. All right.
Yeah, there's a lot of I Can't Drive 55. You can do it all day.
We'll take ourselves a break.
And far too seriously.
Ray and Ozzy will be in to not only review Grindhouse, but possibly tell a humiliating personal story from the past. Do that with Ray and Ozzy next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Ever listen to K-Bill and Super Song in the 70s?
If you said Reservoir Dogs...
Ever listen to K-Billy's Super Sounds in the 70s?
You're correct! Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, a little borderline on that.
I like when you say borderline. That's well known.
Not in the top 500 of famous movie quotes. Ozzy, what you doing, buddy?
Good morning, America.
Yep, Ozzy comes over my house every Friday evening about 6 o'clock, and he makes that cluck-cluck sound, and his wife drops the mop and comes a-running.
Hey, Oswaldo, the first time you came to America, did you come legally or did you skip in?
What do you think?
I think you skipped in.
He's a political asylum.
Political asylum.
For real? Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right.
Did you fly here or bus?
You were in so much trouble in your country, you took a chainsaw to your neck in Encino.
I come in illegal, you know. I crossed the border, you know, in San Isidro.
Right.
Taking my paper, you know, with my political asylum.
I think I saw that picture of you and your family running across the street. You ever see that?
Yeah.
My favorite picture.
Ozzy was the one being dragged in the air, yeah.
I come in alone.
He's a rambler. He had to ramble. Plus, the entire...
That's got to be a bitch, though.
The Nicaraguan government wanted to kill him because they couldn't understand a goddamn word he was saying, even in his own country.
That's true.
By the way, just so you know, because I know your English isn't that good, I want you to know I'm paying you a compliment.
The problem is my English is for London. I have a lot of problems to the American people.
He speaks Queen's English.
Yes. If he was in merry old England, we would understand him.
You mean Queens, one of the five boroughs. They might understand him.
All right, let's get going. And, of course,
Ray has come here to assist now.
Ray, I met 30 years ago. Ray, we must be celebrating our 30th anniversary.
I think it's maybe 33, same age as Jesus.
When I met you in, like, the third grade or something,
You were going to that school for the artisan school.
I went to a hippie free-range school for a while, but they didn't believe in reading.
Freak out! I've had your chicken.
They taught you how to throw dirt clods, which is something that's very important. I do it almost every day.
Yeah.
There's not a day goes by where I don't have to reach back and throw a dirt clod at another citizen, but reading hardly ever pops up anymore. So they were smart.
You had a great class picture, too.
Ray went to the school next door to the house I lived in, although he didn't call it a house, Ray. What did you call the house I grew up in?
The barn.
Because the lawn was up to here, and it looked like it was haunted, and it was falling apart. And the only thing worse than living in a crappy, dilapidated house is living in a crappy, dilapidated house directly across the street from your school,
right, sure.
So that everyone can look through the chain link fence and goes, how's the barn treating you over there?
And still buddies.
It's a classic house, though. I mean, now I love that house.
Now it's cool, but not in 1972 it wasn't. So, anyway.
And you were living in the closet.
Service porch. You want to talk about Green Acres? I kid you not. That house had the meter, the electric meter, in my room. The guy who read the meter would have to walk into my room. He'd have to come. Now, you want to talk about white trash. I mean, you know, you picture Green Acres where Buddy Epson had to climb, or whatever his name was, had to climb up the telephone pole to talk to somebody.
Right.
The meter guy would knock on the door once a month, not get the key to the gate, knock on the door, walk through the house, walk into my bedroom, open the closet and read the meter, because it used to be a porch and it was outside, okay. And somebody crudely put up 3.5 walls, and now I have the meter guy in my house, in my room, as well as the water heater and the washing machine.
Are you sure you weren't abused?
In a room that was half the size of this or less than that, right?
I think so.
I slept in the built-in closet on the top shelf with a sleeping bag. I remember that.
Oh, the good old days,
right? How'd you
get
up there?
I built a rope ladder, actually. All right, well, anyway, Ray, I met when he was making fun of my house and my mom and my lawn and everything about my lifestyle way back, because, shock, I hope everyone's sitting down. Ray was a cruel bully back in the day, but we made friends.
That's not true, come on.
We made good friends, because he's the biggest, scariest guy in the school, and then we went all the way through and we've remained friends ever since.
He couldn't have been sweeter to me this morning. I walked out to smoke a cigarette. He was already out there, and he looked at me and goes, not one in 1,000 straight guys could pull off that shirt. But you can do it.
Yeah. Well, what else was I to say?
Ray has met Ozzy then about 20 years ago, and actually got me and Ozzy hooked up when they got into a fight on a construction site, and sent Ozzy packing. But that's all right. One man's trash is another man's treasure. Right, Ozman?
Yes, all right.
All right.
Let's
do it. Don't get weird, Ray. Let's do the review.
Don't get weird, Ray. That's funny.
Oswaldo
and Ray.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Ray, remember this from the fifth grade? Why does your mom shave her underarm pits?
All right, what, you want me to leave now?
Freak out!
I'll race you to therapy. Here we go.
I'm actually going today. I'm going to see your pop at 11.
Now,
this is another bizarre and sad story.
By the way, I thought this was a secret, but since you've revealed it.
No secret.
Ray, your therapist is Mr. Carolla Adams' dad.
Correct.
I don't think people realize that. Yeah. That is really, really freaky. I'm freaking out. Freak out.
Freak out.
He's great.
I want to do it because most of my complaints in life involve Adam.
Yeah,
we'll talk to my dad. Mr. Carolla,
go
too.
To his dad. I'm telling you.
I work with this guy. He thinks he knows everything.
How many years?
12 to 13.
The problem is I don't tell my dad anything, and that's fine because he never finds out except for when Ray tells him, oh, by the way, did you hear that Lynette's mom passed away? Oh, no, I didn't hear that. Did not hear it from his own son, but he hears it from stupid Ray.
2 days
who tells
before surgery.
Him,
who's his client?
But then can he tell you? Because isn't that client
patient? Yeah.
No, he can just act pissed.
Why would I want to hear a horror movie review when we're hearing one right now?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear the review, Oz.
The movie that Ray and I are reviewing is Grindhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Grindhouse star Danny Trejo.
It's a different movie, Greenhouse.
That's right.
Danny Trejo is Machete. Machete.
Machete.
And Kurt Russell is Stuntman Mike.
Kurt Russell. Stuntman Mike.
Yeah. It's also a star Rose McGowan.
Yeah.
As Cherry mm-hmm. in Planet Terror. Mm-hmm. And Pang in Death Proof.
Oh, she's in both.
In both, yeah.
Plus Cherry and...
And Pang.
Pan. P-A-N?
P-A-N.
Pam.
Pam. Yes. Pam.
Yeah, not Pan.
The two guys, Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, show two different images. The action and suspense mm-hmm. is two full movies for one price.
Mm-hmm.
In special.
Stay on the script, Isaac.
Here is a clip of Patrick Swayze in Death Proof. Audio, Brian.
Swayze.
Remember when I said this car was Death Proof? Well, that wasn't a lie. This car is 100% Death Proof. Only to get the benefit of it, honey, you really need to be sitting in my seat. Don't
cry! Wait a minute. Wasn't that Kurt Russell?
Correct!
Why does it say Patrick Swayze?
Take a wrong one.
Was Patrick Swayze in this movie?
No.
Wow. You were talking about a horrible review.
That was Roadhouse. This is Grindhouse.
Same thing.
All right.
By the way, your buddy Josh Brolin's in this too.
Ah, dear friend,
you know,
Josh Brolin.
The finalist house, I think, you know, make a statement.
I see. I have no idea what you're saying.
I crossed the name out, Oz.
Here we go.
English,
we
motherfucker,
go.
Do you speak it?
I try. Greenhouse is a movie unreal and the name an exaggeration with double impact and emotion.
Hold on a second, Ozzy. Ironically, the movie's called Grindhouse. You have used how many hours of a grinder has Ozzy used? He's used thousands of grinders for thousands of. This is your number one tool, the grinder, Ozzy.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. What's your number one tool?
Hammer drill.
All hammer right. Drill. Well, he's talking about my movie, The Hammer. Yeah. See, I speak down to
somebody.
Nice. Thank God you put drill on the end of it so people were confused.
Yep.
Here we go. Grindhouse.
Grindhouse is a movie in real in the name of exaggeration with double impact and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
One movie is about terror and suspense, about character extravagance under one chemical influence, deformation and very hungry. One guy, you know, to one bite, take out one leg to the girl.
Bit the leg off.
Yeah.
All right.
What? Zombies. He's talking zombies.
Yeah. I'm very hungry. You're about one psycho guy crashing a car in the freeway. The main character in the movie is Carl Russell.
No, oh, it's not Patrick Swayze anymore, huh? All right. In summation.
Yeah. I say Greenhouse, let this reviewer call.
And Ray. It's 3 hours and 20 minutes of great. I mean, it's rude, violent, sexy, clever. It's got everything. It's got zombies, cigarettes, pot, TNA, alcohol, barbecue, chemical warfare, soldiers. No stone unturned. mm-hmm. and pretty good. And Ray.
Nice.
Thanks.
So it's worth a look.
Definitely worth a game. More than a look.
Well, Ray not only does the reviews here on Monday, but we usually share an old and personal story because people seem to enjoy the back-in-the-day stories. We never put much thought into them, but one that popped to mind just before we went on the air was, well, I don't know, is everyone sitting down? Ray's family were apartment dwellers. They were not owners.
Imagine that.
They lived in an apartment the entire time I knew them, and then, and beyond. Yes, Ray?
German immigrants, never owned anything.
Ray, between your mom, your dad, and you, anyone ever live in anything but an apartment?
Yeah, back in Germany, we lived on the barn, in the farm.
Okay. 1961.
67.
They always lived in an apartment. First, they lived in one up on Magnolia, which was up the street from me, and then they lived in one in North Hollywood. And I used to go over there and sleep over. I told you the time I went over there and pulled out Ray's Frisky magazine. Tried to pitch a little tent on the floor, and mom came in, dug it out, and dug me out of the thing while Ray was babysitting. Well, another time, I was over at the Whipple apartment, and Ray's mom handed us both a big bag of garbage and said, take this down the alley and throw it into the dumpster. So I said, all right. So I took off first. And, Ray, you took off first. That's right. It was at night. And it was a long, now you have to kind of picture this. Ray's apartment unit was in the back. It was one of those really long driveways. It was almost like an alley.
Right.
And then the units were in the back and not well lit. And it was probably 9 o'clock at night. And the dumpster was in the front of the apartment, just off to the side, exactly 90 degrees from where the long driveway was. There was a sharp corner and some cinder block, and that's where they parked the dumpster. So Ray got a head start on me, and then I was probably a couple hundred feet behind him with my pile of garbage that mom gave me. By the way, what a way to treat a guest.
You were treated pretty well.
All right, yeah. Ray's mom did some world-class cooking, I'll say that. Well, by the way, Ray would be great because Ray would come into the kitchen at noon. He would yell at his mom, Mom, make me some pancakes. Now, his mom had a crazy German accent, and she'd be like, God damn you, Raymond. And she would start yelling at him every single time, and Ray would start yelling at her. She was this little woman who would scream at Ray, and she'd say, no, Ray, you came in too late. You're not. No, no pancakes. No pancakes for you. You're coming. And Ray would go, come on, Mom, make the pancakes. And she'd go, no, 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 no. And he'd yell, and she'd yell, and they'd go back and forth. And then eventually, she would go, that's it. I made no more pancakes. I'll make no more for you. And Ray would go, all right. And he'd walk over to his little brother Rich, who had a lumberjack stack and was right about ready to dig into it, fire a snot rocket onto the top of it, and push Rich to one side and finish Rich's pancakes off.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Surely, you must be bilingual. You must be bilingual, yes?
How's that?
Because your mother spoke fluent German and she raised
you. No, I'm not bilingual.
No, he's not bilingual. He's bisexual.
Ozzy, yeah!
The first thing I understood out of this guy's mouth.
If you set up Ozzy properly, he will knock it down.
Let's never do it again. All right, so the point is Ray's mom had a crazy accent. She would yell at me. She would yell at Ray.
What a person.
You took down the trash, and all was well.
Ray would claim things by spitting. If somebody said, I can't finish this hamburger, Ray would immediately spit on it from across the table.
Knock it out of your hand.
That none of us could ever get our hands on.
Did we hear the end of the trash story? I feel like
something bad happened. Sorry, so we're walking. Ray's got a 100-foot head start on me. We're walking at night down the long driveway, which is not well lit, to the dumpster, which is a 90-degree sharp corner away from the direction we're walking in front of the building. I just turn the corner and start walking out into the driveway. Ray's already well ahead of me when I hear Mrs. Alexander scream. Oh, she yelled the S word about as loud as she could, and garbage went flying everywhere. Well, Ray, what did you do?
I figured you were behind me, so I was going to scare you.
You heard somebody
coming.
I scared
the wrong person.
Somebody got it. Oh. Ray thought it would be the greatest thing in the world if he hid right behind the dumpster, and when I came out, just flew out with his hands and just went, But it was Mrs. Alexander, who was about 4'11 and 108 pounds, who decided to empty her garbage and got in between us.
Oh, my God.
She was crying.
She was crying.
I showed up, she couldn't get her breath. Ray was 220 pounds at the time.
And I couldn't stop laughing.
Garbage was everywhere, and she just yelled, O.S., as loud as she possibly could.
She made me clean it up, though. I did have to clean it up.
All right. Well,
she
you see
talk
that,
to me for a week.
During that whole story, though, I was wondering if a person with a thick German accent is yelling, no pancakes for you, is it still funny that they're the pancake Nazi? Or do you not have to have a German accent for that to be funny?
It worked.
It did?
It was funny.
Damn, you're right.
By the way, Mom cooked yesterday.
She did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mom, great cook. Sassy, brassy, little firecracker of a woman.
Three pull-ups.
All right.
Three pull-ups in her heyday.
Really?
Yeah.
Mom.
Super strong. Good genes. All right. Ray.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Now please leave.
Okay.
Ozzy, get to my house.
Yes, sir.
Elbows and a-holes, bud.
I know.
Let's get busy now.
No worry.
Yeah, time to lean, time to clean, my brother.
You got it.
All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, the news. T, what's in it?
Well, The Sopranos came back last night, and it was just a nice, relaxing weekend at the lake house for Tony and his wife. It sounded a little like this.
We'll do that. Plus, I think we have our religious fanatic, Shirley Phelps. She's going to explain Easter next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6:30 on C-SPAN. Don't watch Delivering the Promise of Africa. Bono, Bill Gates, and Tony Blair discuss Africa's future. At 7 on Fox RC, be sure to miss Bachelorettes in Alaska. The girls go on a dog sledding date. And at 9 on the Home Shopping Network, definitely don't watch It's So Easy. Sewing machines and accessories are offered. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, good times. Thank you. All right, T.
Yes.
What? Outbrook August.
The lights flashing.
Alarm bells.
Let me check the screen here. Ah, four-time NHRA and the fastest. The man who owns the fastest dragster speed record, Tony Schumacher, is on the line. Whoa. Tony?
What's happening, guys?
How are you, man?
Hey.
Good to speak to you, Tony.
Absolutely. I'm calling from a water park in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, believe it or not. I got all my kids swimming in the pool, so it's a little loud, but how you guys doing out there?
Good. So what are you doing in Wisconsin? Is there a race this weekend?
No, we leave for we actually have Las Vegas next weekend, but I just took the kids up yesterday. They came out to Sheboygan. It's got a nice little indoor water park, and being that we live in Chicago, it's still so cold, you got to find an indoor park, and we're just having a good day.
I was explaining to my listeners, I believe last week, just coincidentally, how hairy a sport drag racing and funny car racing is. His top speed at the end of a quarter mile was 337 miles an hour.
That's real fast.
In a quarter mile.
Yeah, man, in 4 seconds.
What is, do they even know how much horsepower your car has?
They figure between 7,000 and 8,000.
Between, I had the fastest car I ever owned, had 420 horsepower. It was a Viper. Yeah. It was the fastest car, and it threw you back in your seat. What's that feel like?
Man, it is so off. Put it this way, that Viper will go 0 to 100 miles per hour in 9 seconds.
Yeah.
My car goes 0 to 100 in 0.8, 8-tenths of 1 second.
Oh, my God.
And, I said, the Viper, which is about the fastest production car out there, at least one of the fastest production, takes about 9 seconds to get to 100 miles an hour. These guys are at 330 in 4 seconds.
That's just outlandish.
There's
something else that confuses me, though. Okay, so the math on that is difficult, but so is the math on this. You like your kids, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you took them from Chicago to Sheboygan.
Yeah.
Are they being punished?
They're at a water park.
He's trying to drown them at a water park.
Tony, let me ask you this. When you just drive around the city, like you drive your kids to the water park, is it weird driving just an ordinary car, and what do you drive?
Actually, I drive a BMW, but yeah, you know, you're going kind of slow.
Yeah, he doesn't he doesn't drive a full-blown rail around. He drives an alcohol funny car. It's a couple step, couple pro gasser.
Yeah, 400 horsepower instead.
On a residential street, he's going 300 miles an hour less than he's used to.
Hey, so Tony Schumacher, where will we find you next? What's the next stop, and what will you be on?
We head to Las Vegas this weekend. We'll race Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and ESPN will have all the coverage on Saturday night and Sunday race day.
Well,
no, it's all good. It's you can find it out there. It's a pretty darn big sport.
It's a fun sport. I've been to many races, and I just will warn you, if you walk through the pits and somebody fires up one of those nitromethane burning V8s, watch out, because you feel it.
Yeah.
You don't just hear it and smell it. You feel it. It shakes your bones. Jeez. I mean, imagine 8,000 horsepower in the same basic displacement as what you got 425 out of, and that was pretty damn good.
And that was outrageous. That, right. I was like always scared.
All right, Tony, good to speak to you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Say
thanks,
hi to man. The kids. And like as we like to say in the drag racing world, some go, some blow!
Schumacher's gonna be there with Shirley Cha-Cha Meldani, TV Tommy Abel, the Chi-Town Hustler.
All right. Sorry.
You keep yelling out different lines.
Let me clarify. Did a listener get Tony to call in?
I guess we should have asked. Yeah, I guess a listener did call Kyle and got Tony Schumacher
got that
to call
all
in.
Down, right? Yeah, we got all that info.
So now we've got a leader for this week's $500.
Now, I don't think he is going to win the 10 grand, but if we don't outdo Tony Schumacher by Friday, certainly whoever got him in is going to get $500. Now, T. Yes.
I think the real quick, if we don't outbook Tony Schumacher by Friday, we should all just be fired.
It's a decent point.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if you come in tomorrow, you're already at the top of the leaderboard. Danny Bonaducci. It's on a lunch pail.
I'll bring it in with me.
It's the only lunch pail that came with a thermos full of vodka. All right, T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
News about two famous radio personalities this morning. But first, Don Imus. He got in a little bit of trouble for some comments he made Friday on the air about the Rutgers women's basketball team. They played Tennessee. The Rutgers team includes 8 black women, not so much Tennessee. Here is what he said on his syndicated radio show.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night. 7th championship for Pat Summitt. Man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
Awesome rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and
some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to tell you that now. Oh, man, that's some... Ooh.
His producer, Bernard McWork, was chiming in there.
Yeah.
But nappy-headed hoes, not a phrase that made Al Sharpton happy, and usually he does like to stay out of the spotlight, but the Reverend has come out.
He uses Jerry Curl. How come he can be all mad? He flattens that stuff.
Well, he's angry at Don Imus, even though Don Imus has apologized.
I heard his punishment. He has to sniff Al Sharpton's head.
That's cruel.
That's a horrible punishment. Could you imagine being sentenced to having to sniff Al Sharpton's head?
If I had my choice between that and listening to Imus, I'm going with Sharpton's head.
I'm surprised he said anything because I've seen Imus on MSNBC and normally he's just like... Then some guy will go, hey, do you hear what Bush said about Iraq? He just...
They should have him hooked up to a machine so you know whether or not he's flatlining.
It's a good point.
And then we'd all know for sure.
Well, he makes $20 million a year. We should know if he's flatlining by the sound of the cash register. How is that possible that enough Americans listen to that crap to pay that guy's rent?
Here's what I've said about morning radio, especially, or about morning routine. It is a...
He's gone.
Routine.
Time of death?
10:22... December 14th, 1991. Yes. He's been dead for over 15 years. Morning routine. Every day. Now think about this. every day I get up at exactly the same time, do everything down to the minute or the second. I probably brush my teeth the exact same number of strokes every time and don't even know it.
Yeah.
Then I hop in my car and I head down the street and I see the same guy walking his dog in the same place every time, not within 10 foot of where he is, in the same place. I am on my schedule down to the second, and so is he. This is what you do in morning radio. You have a routine. There are people who've been listening to Don Imus for 25 years. He's part of their routine, as I've said many times as well. It's not that you want the best croissant or the best muffin in the morning. You want your croissant. You want to buy it from your guy who's in your building. You don't want to go down the street and go get a better one. You want the guy who gives you yours. It's weird. It's early. You feel vulnerable. I don't know what it is, but you're used to Don Imus, right, or you're used to whoever, and that's who you'll listen to.
The only hole in that theory, of course, is it'll have to be 20 degrees in hell when they fire him.
That's right. So it takes a while, and I think people stay with him because he is officially done trying to speak on the radio.
Now, a lot of people's routine included Howard Stern, and they listened to him for years, and they knew the ups and downs of his marriage and his divorce, and of course, they knew when he got together with model Beth Ostrowski. Now, Howard Stern and Beth are engaged. Mm-hmm. They got engaged on Valentine's Day, and she spoke to OK Magazine. They made a list of the biggest celebrity engagement rings, and hers was number 2 behind Rebecca Romaine Stamos. She has a 5.2-carat diamond, and then she told the magazine that she should have gotten first place in the ring contest because, quote, mine is worth more. Rebecca's ring is only a yellow diamond. So she's got a giant ring.
I would never marry anyone that knew that.
I was just going to ask you guys, is 5.2 carat, I mean, what would that, I don't even know what that would look like.
My wife's wedding ring is not diamond. It's a very inexpensive green thing, emerald.
Oh, that's
And mine's
pretty.
A tattoo.
Hold on, you don't know?
I don't know much about diamonds.
Forget about the chick part, what about the Jew part?
I know.
Isn't that just in your blood?
I told you, my dad's a mechanic.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
Jewelry,
right,
don't you understand?
Yeah, I don't.
All right, you're playing coy.
No, I really don't know what a carrot is.
You think there's some guy driving to work right now going, oh, the plucky little news girl doesn't even know what a carrot is. That's so sweet. Oh.
No, I know that they look for clarity in a good diamond and cut. I know there's the 3 C's, but I don't know really the size of a carrot.
Yeah, and you have to use the last C to get a good first tee.
Please. I showed her my watch. She pulled a monocle out. She looked at it and said, I could get it cheaper for you. I said, I didn't even tell you how much it cost. I could do better. I have a friend talk to her.
I know. My people
know
should
a guy.
Really.
Yeah.
My people should really know this. So apparently she's got an enormous diamond. And congratulations to those two on their engagement. Last night was the Sopranos premiere, 6 seasons, 9 episodes. Last night was the first, and it was peaceful enough. Tony Soprano and his sister Janice and their spouses were up at the lake house. They were playing Monopoly, and then things started to turn ugly because Tony started busting his sister's chops, and Bobby, Janice's husband, didn't really care for it.
I roll again. Okay. Second prize in a beauty contest. Collect $10. Ben, make your stupid joke.
I got nothing to say.
Think I'll buy a railroad.
A German shepherd shaved won first prize.
Oh. What about my wife?
You married her.
This is my home. I'm not talking like that.
It's okay, Bob.
Stay out of this. You're Sopranos. You go too far.
Will that be a sign of things to come?
Yeah, it's a great and probably the only show where I believe people are encouraged to put on weight during the downtime.
Yeah.
Everybody gets fatter on that show. And in all other facets of life, people see themselves on TV after a successful season or two and they go, whoo, I got to drop a few pounds. Not the Sopranos. Everyone went from fat to morbidly obese.
Except Gay Vito, Brian just pointed out. He lost weight, but I don't think he lost weight for the show. Yeah. I think he was on some kind of diet.
Hey, it's The Hollywood crank diet.
Well, Edie Falco was amazing last night on the show. I thought she did a phenomenal job.
But most of Fat, I mean, he, Bobby Bacala and his sister and him, I mean,
they're huge. They almost seemed like they couldn't breathe, like their lungs were choking in fat.
Was she a great big fat person?
Yes, they all were enormous. A great episode. Now, some rare bad news for American Idol.
Mm-mm.
All you hear about is what a juggernaut American Idol is. Right. It kills its competition. Well, ratings are down from last season. Now, to put it in perspective, they're grabbing an average of 28 million viewers every Tuesday. That's down from last season when they averaged 31 million. So that's 3 million down, but it's significant. The ratings shows on Wednesdays are also on a steady decline. Now, some people are saying that this is because the field is very weak. Other than Sanjaya, nobody cares about any of these singers. But the producer is blaming daylight savings time.
Sure.
Yes. That's what I blamed for the other half.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, blame the sun, yeah.
Suffice to say, I'm sure there are a lot of
cold-hearted old that rules the night.
That was a clip from Nigel Lithgow's meeting that he had with the staff of American Idol, where he blamed that orb in the sky for losing some of their audience. I guess it was 3 weeks earlier this year, daylight savings. So that affected them sooner than you. I don't know. He's got a theory, and that's it.
Who needs a theory when it comes to that show? It's a runaway mega hit with 28 million viewers. Shut up.
And it is true that there's no real hot chicks. There's one cute chick, but no real hot chicks. And there's the Sanjaya thing, but that's controversy over a guy who can't sing
very
well
in
a singing competition. It's just not. There's nobody really. The beatbox guy's okay.
I know.
Yeah, tell Ryan Seacrest to give back one of his Bentley, just the insignia of one of his Bentleys, and they'll break even again for this week. Everybody will be fine, because he's on his third now.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's lacking a little something, but I think J-Lo is the guest this week, so I'm sure it's going to be right back up.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, at the box office, Grindhouse, which was just reviewed by Ozzy and Ray, I think Ozzy liked it.
Yeah.
And definitely Ray liked it, but the American people did not. It came in fourth with a disappointing $11.6 million at the box office.
Well, it's too long, and it's over the head of most Americans who'd rather have their NASCAR, and they'd rather have it under 90 minutes.
Yep, over 3 hours long. Number three, Ice Cube's movie Are We Done Yet? With $15 million. We spoke to him.
But it's got to be, if you're Tarantino or Rodriguez, I saw Are We Done Yet reviewed by Roper and whoever over the weekend, and they were like, this is a horrible idea for a sitcom pitch. I mean, this is not even a movie. You know, they do the two thumbs down, and then there's I don't even know what Ice Cube was doing. I don't know why this movie was made. How dare you make this movie? And I'm sure they made it in 20 minutes and artistically burnt about as many calories as I do when I lean over to break wind at the dinner table. Whereas Quentin Tarantino and Rodriguez must have killed themselves to create this 3-hour cinematic effort. And yet America says, we'll vote with our wallets. We want to see the 60-minute sitcom.
Let's go see where that black guy moves out of the country and sees a deer and gets all scared because he's never seen one before. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was their coming attraction.
Yeah,
I still laughed.
Yeah, it was like that movie with Tom Hanks or Chevy Chase or the other nine guys who did it first. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's very comforting.
It's called the Money Pit.
I'm sure it's comforting to Robert Rodriguez.
Money Pit, good name for Tease Me.
Thank you. Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino, I'm sure, can take solace in the fact that the number one movie at the box office is The Citizen Kane of Ice Skating, Blades of Glory. Made $23 million.
Yeah, but a movie like Grindhouse will have a life long after it leaves the theater.
I would think so, yeah. Yes. All the slasher
fans.
And
I'm sorry, the Citizen Kane of skating movies where the blind chick hits the roses and Robbie Benson flips out.
Yeah, Ice Castle.
Oh, I love that movie.
See?
Ice Castle, good name for TV.
It is cold, but no roses. I'm Teresa Strasser, that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Go too far.
We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, Grindhouse, better name for Tease Me. Take a break. When we come back, we will do either A or B. We either talk to prisoner David, our actual prisoner who is calling from within the joint, or we will talk to Shirley Phelps. religious fanatic who will explain Easter. Either way, you win on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Mount Pleasant, New York. After being pulled over for drunk driving, a 47-year-old exterminator attempted to escape custody by ramming his head through the police car window. Definitely not a Jew.
Well, speaking of definitely not a Jew, Shirley Phelps, she came to prominence when she and her group were protesting at the funerals of the fallen American soldiers, saying, I'll see you in hell, and I can't remember what it was, but America was outraged.
It is God hates a word that rhymes with bags, derogatory
right.
for gay people.
At the funeral, she stands by it. We got her on the phone. I've had a love-hate relationship with Shirley ever since. Shirley?
Hi.
Hi, it's, yesterday was Easter. Yes. Now, I celebrated by hanging out with Kimmel and going on an Easter egg hunt with a big giant bunny rabbit and having a couple of adult beverages. How did you celebrate Easter?
I don't do Easter, hun. It's pagan idolatry. God hates it.
God hates Easter?
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it 'cause of the bunny?
I actually caught an episode of South Park about that Easter. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
No.
Where one of those little children is going, now, there's a big gap of information between Christ dying on the cross and the giant Easter bunny hiding Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello, what's that about?
Except I agree with that, but I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son, and if I have my choice between giving them a basket of candy or a basket of a dead guy with a wound to his side, I usually pick the candy. What's wrong with that?
Because you substitute your righteousness for the righteousness of Christ.
Well,
Why don't you just substitute candy?
How about we compromise? Hold on.
Tell those children every day how much you hate them, you dolt.
Shirley, hold on. No need to be insulting, although if you'd like to keep going, it is fine. How about if we compromise and do a chocolate Jesus?
How about if you just cut that loose, too? How about if you just serve God in truth? How about if you get your rickety backsides out there on the streets, or use your program to warn your fellow countrymen that their sin has taken them to hell? Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, then just go on and admit every day when you start your program, hello, America, I hate your guts.
Well, that's how you want us to open the show?
That's how Mark
that's
and Brian sign on, though. I don't want
to
rip them off. All right, well, now, hold on. Shirley, tell me, because I'm an atheist, how this Easter thing works or what it means, what it symbolizes. Explain it. You're the Bible answer woman.
Well, the perverts of this world take and prop up all of this accoutrements, these crosses, they're idols. Mm-hmm. All these things that they worship instead of worshiping God in truth. That is, keep my commandments. Christ demanded obedience to the commandments of God. So what you do instead is you send away the days, then you stand around with big maudlin faces. Did you see the footage from the Pope? You know, the head of the pedophile
that
machine.
Bastard.
The head of the pedophile machine.
The head of the largest pedophile machine.
Worst arena
in the whole
football
world.
Team wow. name ever. Pedophile machine.
Not even a good name for TV.
Exactly. That's what they ought to call it, too. But they've got him up there doing his Easter service, and then they have all these freaks, these disobedient, rebellious perverts standing around out there squalling and with all that goofy, surreal.
The thing I love about Shirley, she hates everybody.
Everyone.
Like, you think, well, she would hate an atheist, possibly a Jew, but then you bring up the Pope,
the
she hates
one who
ever.
Loves you guys. I'm the only one kind enough to tell you the truth. Don't say I hate you.
Right, but you
you
protest at the funerals of fallen American soldiers.
Yes, for the living. Those people that are still alive, standing
right,
there,
for the grieving.
That dead body,
sure.
have still an opportunity to repent. And commence to live a life of sobriety, sober, righteous, and godly in this present world, looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, how do you do it? Because every time I try and talk to you in legitimate terms, then you just get insulting and rude. How do you do that? How do you live by the commandment?
I don't get insulting and rude. I get plain spoken. You need to understand. You're standing there telling me what you do to your children, and I'm sitting over here with my children knowing that you hate those children. Otherwise, you'd tell them the truth.
Now, see, there's your problem twice. First of all, I'm sitting, so you're wrong already. Second, I didn't tell you
Danny
what I did.
Danny doesn't hate his children. He tolerates them. They hate him.
Exactly. He tolerates
I asked
them.
You a question. I didn't tell you what I did. I asked you a question. What you is wrong with rewarding them with candy?
What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it is it doesn't teach them what the Lord their God requires of them. That is, that they live sober, righteous, and godly, and that they obey his commandments.
Well, what should we do on Easter?
Instead, how to be filthy perverts, how to be... Look,
she does have you on that one,
you want them fornicating as early as possible.
Yes.
That's what you want.
Yes, that's true.
We sat down and discussed the dreams for our children just yesterday, my wife and I, and fornicating as early as possible was at the top of my list.
Adam? How dare you pretend that you do not get on these airwaves every single day and push a filthy manner of life at this nation?
Well,
and then you say because you didn't sit down with your wife and have a specific discussion wherein you said, let us get our children to fornicate as early as possible. Doesn't mean that this is exactly what you're teaching them.
Wait a second.
Having that kind of a conversation?
You can't just guess. I've actually had that conversation with my wife.
Your words
swear to God.
By your deeds.
I told my wife to her face on Dante's 16th birthday, I'm getting him a whore. Because that's what he deserves when he's 16.
And you
so don't
that's
tell me.
Good, clean fun.
No, I said, you said I don't do it. You said I did not sit down with my wife and do it.
I was talking to Adam. I wasn't talking to you. Well, I know that I have no doubt that you did exactly what
I did exactly that. So one of us in this room is telling the truth.
Please.
One of us is
a big
show business whore that wants to get on the radio and protest and get a little TV coverage. One of us tells the truth.
What about that, Shirley?
That I'm insulting when I tell you that you're raising that child for the devil and you're taking him to hell because you hate them.
Please call him a dummy.
Sure, I do love that. Dolge is the new one for today.
He's worse than a dummy.
But Shirley, you do appear a lot in the media. Yes?
Yeah.
You know what? She has 30 pieces of silver crammed right up her ass.
It could appear to some that you're just trying to get attention for yourself
that
and that you don't really believe in any of these causes. You're just being provocative to get on the air.
I'm over here worn slick, day in and day out, running up and down the highways of doomed America, putting these words in front of your face,
yes.
And you say, I'm doing that because I want attention?
Yes.
Well, it's a theory. It's just a theory.
Hello? I have a life.
And if it weren't for us, you wouldn't.
Determined that they were going to run into this spinning fan, this pendulum, this destruction, this sausage grinder.
Will you pick an implement of death and stay with it?
Good name for TV, by the way, the sausage grinder.
No one wants to see how sausage is made.
Hey, Shirley, so quickly, I have twins. They're 9 months of age, or 10. I got to figure that one out. The point is next year they'll be old enough to celebrate Easter and sort of know what's going on. How should we celebrate?
You should never, ever, ever one time introduce them to that idolatry. You should instead tell them what the Lord their God requires of them.
What would you tell them?
You should read them those scriptures as early as they're able to understand. You should tell them that they should abstain from fornication and fleshly lust. Righteous and godly. That if they never, ever one time had sex in this life, that the Lord is coming and it would be too soon.
Well,
if
somebody's coming because somebody's got them having kids,
I'm
crazy old bitch.
Are you not supposed to have sex or are you supposed to?
There is plenty of sex in the scriptures and there's only one proper kind. One
kind.
What's the proper
kind?
It's
in the marriage bed. Oh. The scripture for you says marriage, Hebrews 13:4, is honorable in all. And that bed is undefiled. And any other sexual connection, God will damn in hell forever.
They are going to love this. So instead of the Easter basket, old man Corolla sits down with the book and shares the good news about not fornicating every Easter.
You don't even have to start there. How about if you give them a break and don't introduce that discussion to them at all?
No Easter.
No Easter.
No third day rose again.
How about a baptism? My wife wants them baptized.
Oh, that's
why?
Nice.
They're not old enough to understand anything.
It's a nice tradition.
Shut up and get back in her box.
Get my wife back in her box?
Exactly.
Finally, some common ground.
Wait a second. Shirley, are you saying Adam keeps his wife in a box?
Finally, something we've agreed on.
Is that what you're saying?
Why don't you get over it? You don't understand good language techniques.
Yes. She doesn't mean... She means the gilded cage this America's created in her mind, man.
If you quit trying to cause her children to engage in spiritual idolatry, then put her in the box.
I got a real question about that one, the idolatry thing, because it's obviously... Are you discussing Christ on the cross? Is that the idolatry?
The idolatry is your manner of life. It's your idols that you serve. Mm. It's your tiny little insignificant private part. It's your flag. It's your money. It's your everything you are engaged in that is not proper service to your God. That's your idols, your covetousness.
All right. Well, I feel like we barely scratched Shirley Solano's ear.
I don't think barely scratch her eyes on. Is that cool?
As many as your blocks, every street, every person. As
all right, it's enough. Look, if anyone's had sex with any of Shirley's kids,
please call
the show. I would love
to. I'm pretty sure I boned one of her kids once.
Yeah.
That would win $10,000.
All right, we're out of time. We need to take a break. Sorry, Shirley. We'll be right back. The show. I want to thank Frank Vincent from The Sopranos. Sunday nights, 9 o'clock.
Go to the bathroom and take off your panties.
On HBO. And Tony Schumacher, shoeracing.com. 337 miles an hour from one stoplight to the next stoplight on your average city block.
It's just out there.
All right. So
wow, that's good.
So until next time, Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Go to the bathroom and take off your panties and come back.